Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 K-Rock FM. It is 5:51 in the morning. Ah, it's too early. Let's all go back to bed. Well, sadly, we can't. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. I'm still here giving you the showbiz beat. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. More details about the arrest of rapper Rick Ross outside of his home in Atlanta, Georgia, yesterday morning. We mentioned it when the news broke that he'd been arrested. Now we know a little bit more about these charges of kidnapping, aggravated assault, and aggravated battery, along with his bodyguard, who was also arrested as well. The incident apparently is built around an event that happened on July the 7th at Ross's home. The LA Times is reporting that Rick Ross allegedly pistol-whipped his groundskeeper, Jonathan Zamudio. He lives at the home. And Rick Ross took a 9mm Glock and started hitting him in the head and the body and the face, and then questioned him at gunpoint about some, as of yet, unspecific event. Why my hydrangea is not clipped? He was very upset about the groundskeeping. The groundskeeper reportedly suffered 2 chipped teeth, a neck injury, multiple scratches and contusions, lost the use of his jaw, has not been able to chew solid food since the event. Anyway, U.S. Marshals showed up at Rick Ross's house yesterday and arrested him. So we'll keep you posted as more details coming in. Boy, what could that groundskeeper have done to deserve that? My sunflowers are drooping. They need more water. I think that Billy Corgan's losing his mind, because now he's just changed the lineup of Smashing Pumpkins yet again. Jimmy Chamberlain apparently back playing drums for the Smashing Pumpkins. USA Today says Billy made the big announcement yesterday, saying that Robin Diaz, the guy he had originally hired for the upcoming summer co-headlining tour with Marilyn Manson, has backed out. Then Billy gave the real reason. He said, "You can't just grab somebody and say, play drums on this Smashing Pumpkins song. Jimmy's drum parts are so incredibly technical and nuanced that it's a very rare class of people that can step in and play." So Jimmy's back in, even though he hasn't performed live with the band since 2009. But he's going to be there. So good news for a Smashing Pumpkins fan. The Neighborhood is hitting the road on a North American tour in the fall. Begins September the 14th in Albuquerque, New Mexico, then wraps up on October the 30th in Las Vegas. Neighborhood is working on its second album, a follow-up to the 2013 I Love You, which included the very cool tune Sweater Weather, which I dig the most. So good to see those guys out and about and traveling. And what do you do if you're Warner Brothers and you want to be culturally sensitive and everyone is deciding that the Confederate flag has become a symbol of bigotry and hatred, and products featuring that flag should no longer be offered? I mean, Walmart is pulling all their merchandise with Confederate flags on it. And by the way, I didn't know there was that much Confederate flag merchandise out there, but apparently there is. It's a big deal, and there's belt buckles and gun racks and what have you. But what if you do if you're Warner Brothers and you license a little automobile called the General Lee, the 1969 Dodge Charger, driven, of course, by those Duke boys. Them Dukes. Bo and Luke on the TV show Dukes of Hazzard. It had the Confederate flag painted on its roof. Well, Warner's has announced, as of yesterday, they will no longer be selling General Lee merchandise, because the nation is understanding that the Confederate battle flag is a symbol that represents perhaps the worst part of ourselves and a very dark part of this nation's history. However, it's not all going over very well with the Dukes themselves. John Schneider, for example, taking issue with the flag's association with bigotry. He says, "If that flag was a symbol of racism, then Bo and Luke and Daisy and Uncle Jesse were a pack of wild racists, and that could not be further from the truth. Labeling anyone who has the flag a racist seems unfair to those who clearly never mean and no harm." Because that's from the theme song. So, apparently, understandably, the Dukes are upset. Look, it is what it is. The flag does bring up those feelings, and I think it's a small price to pay is if we lose some General Lee merchandise. I think we'll all be okay if we don't get a chance to wear our General Lee t-shirts around. While we're talking about famous cars, Kit, of course, another famous TV car. Its driver, David Hasselhoff, is in the news. He and apparently his girlfriend, Haley Roberts, are talking about starting a family together. The 62-year-old actor, who's been known to glug, 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 glug on occasion, says he's in his second childhood right now. He has two daughters, by the way, Taylor, who's 25, and Haley, who is 23, with his ex-wife. And his girlfriend, Haley Roberts, not only has the same name as his daughter, which is creepy enough, is just 8 years older than his eldest daughter, Taylor. So, you know, maybe it's not time to have kids. 62-year-old David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
It's a little creepy. Miley Cyrus has a new girlfriend. Multiple sources have confirmed that she's dating Victoria's Secret model Stella Maxwell. Good for you, Miley Cyrus. Good for you. That's right, Bean. And in television news, Fox News Channel has dumped former Alaska governor and vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin from its on-air lineup. The network says Sarah is no longer working as a contributor after their contract ended on June 1st. Now, Politico.com is saying that Sarah could resurface as a guest on the Fox News Channel or its sister network, the Fox Business Network, but she will have no regular time slot on either of those channels, at least as far as anyone knows. In a statement, Fox News said it's nothing against her personally, but right now they have a surplus of attractive women who just don't know what they're talking about. So you can't find room for all of them. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chef Anthony Bourdain celebrates his 59th birthday. I don't know if you watched that Anthony Bourdain No Reservation show where he travels around the world and eats like dog and stuff and everything, but my wife loves it. It's fascinating. George Michael, 52 years old today. Ricky Gervais, love him so much, is 54. Angela Kinsey, you know her from The Office. Speaking of Ricky Gervais, she's 44 years old today. Linda Cardellini, first fell in love with her in Freaks and Geeks. Loved everything she's done since, except maybe that second Scooby-Doo movie. She's 40 years old today, and actress Busy Phillips, also from Freaks and Geeks, celebrates her 36th birthday today. I am Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys know how I feel about English Bulldogs. They're the greatest dogs in the whole wide world. I love them so much. So when I saw a link to a story over the weekend with this headline, a couple hundred bulldogs got together for an insanely cute party, I thought, give me some of that.
Ugh.
And then I clicked on it.
Before we get to your
What's
clicking
with
on
the
it.
Ugh?
It wasn't an ugh, it was an ugh.
Yeah, What's
it was
with the
more
ugh?
Of an ugh. It's just, people who seek out the cute animal videos and stories and they have the little cute avatar pictures of their little animals and everything. There's damage there. There's some damage there that needs to be fixed.
We talked about Dave the King of Mexico, who follows many pets on Instagram.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
there's
by
damage
pets,
there, right?
That, well, I mean, yeah. I would think so.
I think it's possible to enjoy a breed of dog and enjoy seeing photos of that breed of dog.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything damaging about that. I think Dave is definitely damaged.
A little damaged, too much,
but.
Quite frankly, if you ask me.
All right, so what upset you? What upset me was that my what I thought was going to be a joyous few minutes scrolling through pictures of a couple of hundred bulldogs at an insanely cute party turned to rage when I realized that this is a North Carolina thing that they do once a year. It's called the Bully K Festival, and it is a costume contest for dogs.
See, this is what you get. This is the slippery slope. You start with the, oh, cute little party. Then you end up putting clothes on dogs. That's what happens. You deserve what you got.
Now, Bean, you strike me, and I've seen pictures in the past, as a dog dresser. You have dressed dogs.
I've seen birthday hats on
That's
your dogs,
what
haven't
I'm
I?
Saying. Have you?
I am 100% not a birthday dog dresser.
Were
100%.
You?
Or bulldog. No, never. Never, ever, ever have I been down with
Have your dogs ever
dressing.
Worn hats?
You'll have to talk to Mrs. Baxter about that because, yes, she thinks it's adorable. And it is, I mean, look, there's a lot of reasons why we're divorcing, but this has got to be near the top of the list because it has been a battle. The struggle is real, you guys.
Yes.
But here's my whole thing. I love dogs, okay? And I don't think dogs enjoy wearing outfits. So the reason I speak up for the animals is because the animal doesn't have a say in it.
Right.
The animal, I don't think, likes it. Am
Good
I wrong?
You. No, you're not wrong.
No, this in this particular case, I think you're right.
This is one rare instance where Bean and I, especially in reference to animals, absolutely agree that this is unconscionable.
Why do people do it then? People who claim to love their pets. I mean, the people who are obviously very involved, very active in their pets' lives. Why do they force a costume on an animal then? Why do
so
they think
cute.
It's okay?
Because they look so cute is the answer.
Yeah.
That's the actual
it's
answer.
That's
the
unacceptable answer.
It's pure selfishness. It is.
Yeah.
It is just people using animals for their own entertainment without any regard for the animal whatsoever.
All right, 1-800-520-1067.
And the first person who calls in says, but my dog loves it. When I put on the costume, his little tail starts. I'm coming to your house, so feel free to call.
Well, I'm not sure that you want to threaten them.
Come on.
When we
call,
say call.
I dare you.
Now, assistant producer Christine just IM'd me that the dogs love it. Ask her in the office if she's kidding, if she's just making it funny,
serious.
Or does she really think the dogs enjoy being dressed up?
She's serious.
Get her in here. Get your ass
then
in
get
here.
Get her in here.
Christine, on your
seriously.
Last day of work, come into the office.
Because I am telling you, there is no dog that wants to wear a hat. There is no dog that wants to wear a tie,
right.
A sweater,
have
a vest.
Have you seen them, how they shake their heads
shoes?
To get stuff off of them when you put stuff on them?
Yeah.
That's them saying, this blows, human. You're a bad thing
Stop
to do that.
Stop doing this to me.
To me.
So 1-800-520-1067, if you would like to present the alternate opinion, if you believe dogs love being dressed up, we do want to hear from you. Christine, you were kidding, though, with this. They love it, right?
No, they totally love it.
Oh,
you kidding
my
me?
God.
Have you ever seen... Oh, I know you guys don't dress up your dogs, but
right.
I have friends who do,
mm-hmm.
and especially the ones... who get the accessories and stuff, I think they really enjoy those.
Like a monocle?
Okay,
like
wait.
Bows. And...
But who enjoys those? The pets enjoy those?
I truly
because
believe the pets do.
To me,
how
it's 100% the owner. The owner loves it, not
how can
the
you
pet.
Truly believe the pet likes it?
I think because sometimes they're useful, like a sweater.
Don't
if they're cold.
Give a sweater for cold. We want to talk about you put costumes
we're talking
on
about
your
costumes.
Pets. Even
look,
sweaters for cold is 50-50. So.
They do have fur, you know. That's a pretty good defense against the blustery, wintry nights of Los Angeles when it dips down to 60.
All right, so let's leave that out of it. Let's talk about people who dress them up.
Like a pit bull in a tutu.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think it's no different than if you have an infant or a small baby.
You know what the difference would be? One's a baby, which is a person, and people wear clothes.
And by the way, Christine, before you go on... I would like to argue that I agree with you. There are similarities. And I don't think 8-month-old little girls want to have ribbon wrapped around their foreheads either. I think that's
exactly.
something the parents are doing just because they think it's cute. And I think they're every bit as wrong as the bulldog owners are in this case.
No, dog owners are wronger.
Yeah,
because
true.
There's some correlation between humans, no matter what age or size, and clothing. There's no correlation between animals and clothing.
But
never.
I don't
want to
get off on a tangent
ever.
Here. But the little pink ribbon wrapped around a forehead on an 8-month-old doesn't make any sense to you.
Let's leave that out, too, because we need to focus here. We need to focus.
Okay. All right, Christine,
listen.
Why do you think dogs like it?
Can I say real quick? I did a segment, and it was during Christmas, and they dressed up a goat as a reindeer.
Uh-huh.
So it had
How
on leg
cute is
warmers.
That?
It had on
That's
little reindeer antlers.
Warmers.
It was
Right, but the question is not did you find it cute or adorable,
that goat,
it is
that
can that animal possibly have enjoyed that?
That goat tweeted that he did.
I mean,
that goat tweeted. Well, the goat tweeted that he did, and that's one thing.
I don't think, if your animal is acting like this thing is causing it discomfort,
right.
mm-hmm. sure, I totally get that. But if it doesn't, and I think they feed off of your reaction,
so you only are nice to them when they're wearing costumes?
Happy?
That's the only way you can love your dog is when you dress it up.
You don't have a costume.
You're naked. I hate you. You will not be loved until you wear a baseball cap
and a monocle.
And sunglasses. You will wear sunglasses and a bow tie.
You're indecent. You're naked. No,
right,
I just think
that
if you
fired. Get out, you're fired.
Man. Yeah,
I'm sorry, you are fired though. There's no coming back.
I think
this.
Here's what we're saying.
Stop it. Can we talk to Allison just real quick before the break? She's on line one. She apparently calling from Los Angeles, and if what's up on the screen is to be believed, she dresses up her dogs for beauty contests. Yeah, Allison, why do you dislike your pet so much?
No. I can't have children. So first of all, there's a lot of health benefits to owning a dog. You guys know that.
Okay, yes. We all have dogs, every one of us.
No one's talking about owning a dog.
But we're pro dog here.
Right, yes. And I don't always dress her up. She has been in the Long Beach Hot Dog, HAUTE, parade, which they have every Halloween, and they just had the Miss Bulldog Beauty Contest. Now, my dog was dressed up as a diva.
Oh, my God. Your dog is so missed. That's the worst day of the year for that dog.
Oh, no, or does the dog look forward to it? Circles it on its calendar.
She loves it.
She did. And she was at the... They had a kissing booth where she sat in the kissing booth.
Oh, my God.
And it's for charity. You pay $1.
You get to kiss the dog?
And no, my dog kisses you. However, she refused to kiss one 12-year-old boy. And I'm, no comment, but it was a 12-year-old
boy.
But
the kid deserved not getting kissed? Is that
I
what you're saying?
So.
Yeah,
right.
He's a sociopath, probably.
We're all 12-year-old boys.
Yeah, well.
Except for Allie, of course.
Yeah.
And Allie, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
12-year-old
boy.
Well, then you're smarter than I am, Allie, because I have no idea what Allie's talking about, except she's cuckoo.
They enjoy it. If they don't like it, they'll make a fuss. But mostly,
all right. If they make a fuss, you go, hey, stop it. We're in a pageant.
Well, what was the diva?
Hold on,
costume?
I want to hear her answer.
They're used to it. If you've started dressing them, young
right,
enough,
they suffer in silence, is what they do, Allison.
And
that's what happens.
Yes, they just give up.
It's not everyday dressing. It is a once in it's twice a year. Maybe.
Too many times.
Two times too many.
They love it, you guys.
They don't love it,
Allison.
Yes.
Stop it.
Murder.
Is that what we're saying?
That's aggressive.
Allison needs to leave the gate open on her fence. That's what she needs to do.
Let that dog have a clear shot out of there.
I have an 11-year-old English bulldog who I've had since she was 8 weeks. So, you know what their lifespans are. So I'm doing something right.
He's hanging on with love. Looking forward
all right, Allison.
To
doing good work, Allison. Keep
it's,
it up.
It's staying, alive long enough just to plot his revenge.
Stop it.
Bye,
all right. 1-800-520-1067.
I don't feel like we made progress with her.
No. Got a lot of Allisons on the line, though.
The minute she started with, I can't have children, I was out. I was out of the conversation because that's when I know the problems are so deep-seated we can't possibly solve them.
All right, you dress up your dogs.
We're talking about dressing up your pets and how your pet should be taken away from you if you insist on making him or her wear a costume. That's the official position of the Kevin and Bean Show. Christina, you hang on. We're going to get to you first down in Corona in just 1 second. But, Ralph, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
From PetMD, here's a list of the top 10 reasons to dress up your pet. You wear clothes, so your pet wants to, too. Does your pet want to follow you around, sit on the couch when you sit on the couch, go outside when he sees you heading to the door? If the answer is yes, it's safe to say that anything you do, your pet will want to do as well, and we think that includes dressing up.
That's the most insane logic I've ever heard.
That's from PetMD?
Because a pet wants to be near you doesn't mean it wants to live its life like
right.
you.
No!
I had a root canal once. Should I have taken Tater Tot with me? Clothes can show off your pet's personality. People use clothes to show off their personality. Why shouldn't your pet, whether he's tough, flirtatious, smart, or sassy, have him dress the part?
I'd just like to point out something that I probably shouldn't have to, and that's that pets and humans are not identical.
Oh, Kevin.
What?
Pets are people.
That's weird.
All right. Let's talk to Christina. Let's see what's going on in her damaged mind. Hi, Christina. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding.
Guys.
And thank you for being on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, thank you for having me. I have a two-year-old niece. I have a two-year-old dog. Every holiday, I dress up my dog. I try to anyway, but you can tell she hates it.
Well, then why do you do it?
Because, the niece, for example, is the first kid in our family. And, goo goo gaga, I love this kid. I'm like, what about my dog? She looks cute, and she does.
So you are dressing up your dog so that your family...
with a child?
What?
Yeah, it's like her baby... But she hates it.
And you know she hates it.
I took a picture and I take it off. Does
take a
count?
Picture and take it off.
Does it count? Well, I mean, yeah, it's tortured for a shorter amount of time, but how much do you need that photo?
She's
not
a baby.
It's a dog.
Sorry, fur baby.
It's not a fur baby. It's not a fur. It's not any kind of baby. It's an animal.
Look, you can love that dog as much as you want, but what doesn't... makes sense to me is if you love that dog so much, why would you want to do something that the dog would not enjoy?
Didn't know it the first 3 times.
Okay, but do you know it now?
the first three times. Well, guys, she's getting a lot of likes on Instagram for putting her dog through it, so that's worth it, right?
Stop
yes, it.
It
is.
You're a bad
Thank
person, Christina. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and say, wow, I'm looking at a bad person.
Thank you, Christina. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Kylie in Los Angeles. By the way, this one seems to be heavily female. At least those that are willing to admit they dress up their pets seems to be a lot of ladies on the line. Hi, Kylie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We are good.
So I have two cats and I have two dogs. Borderline cat lady at 27. Mm-hmm. But I'm not crazy enough to think that my animals don't like to be dressed up.
Okay.
I dress them up. I know they hate it, but I kind of look at it like as part of their job. Like,
what are you talking about?
Wait, I need to hear this. How you rationalize this?
Go back. Give her some room, please. Give Kylie some room because I'm going to be here all day.
Give us some more explanation about how it's the dog's job.
Okay. I go to work. I make money. I don't enjoy it all the time, but it's my job. Mm-hmm. I pay for their vet bills, hundreds of dollars, food. You know, treats, activities, you know. I know they hate it.
So they owe you?
They kind of owe it to me. You know?
I think what she just described was unconditional love. You know? And that's what dogs and cats are. They're unconditional love. So
right.
Put on those tutus.
Clearly, you have been damaged somehow, some way, along the way, psychologically.
Actually, Kylie is the healthiest position I've ever heard on this thing.
Because at least she understands that it's nonsense and they don't like it.
And she knows they don't like it. She goes, you know what? I don't care. I'm a person. They're animals and I rule the planet. And they're going to do what I want.
It's like that. All day.
I like anything all day. This is the best possible position for a wrong
position. This is the zoo/circus mentality of I'm a human being. I will do whatever I damn well please to animals.
I pay for that dog. All right, Kylie. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Do we want to talk to Justin, the one guy on the phone who had dressing up his pet backfire on him, maybe? He's calling us from Van Nuys.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, good morning, boys.
Only dude. I just want to say only dude. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I never agree with Bean, and I got to agree with Bean on this one.
Right, me too.
My wife, we have a little chihuahua-type dog, and we have a big boxer, and they're both very friendly. My boxer is the awesomest dog, and my wife likes to dress them up in a Christmas card and take pictures, and she thinks they really like it, and I tell them they hate it. And I, you know, she says, they're so cute, and they love it. Well, I can tell you that the dogs hate it. Last night, my wife, who is a fantastic person, decided to put my boxer, 65-pound dog, in a zip-up hoodie.
Last night.
Uh-huh. And so my kids are saying, Daddy, you got to come see this. Look at the dog. And he comes running through, and he's kind of tiptoeing, and he's trying to get out of it. I say, what are you doing?
Trying to shake it off?
Yeah, he's trying to get, shake it off of him. And my wife says, this is so cute. So I try and help the dog, who's very friendly, wouldn't hurt anybody. As I go to unzip the sweater, he's so freaked out that he bites me. So I can tell you right now, dogs do not want to be dressed up.
Or did he bite you because he's like, I want this on. Why are you taking this off
me?
He
was pissed.
Allie, you're going to need to get out as well.
Yeah, you and Christine.
You go join. Wherever Christine went, you go.
Thank you, Justin.
Justin, I don't feel like we're making progress.
These people are beyond our help.
What about this? A listener, Ann, writes in and wants to know, how about bandanas on dogs? I say no as well. I say there's no reason for a dog to wear a bandana. That's not a costume, but it's also completely unnecessary.
A bandana
right?
is sort of collar-esque, and I do believe in collars, so at least that's not that far off the beam.
And they love poison.
Wow.
The band. Yeah.
How do you feel about that being the last joke you ever got to make on the show, Allie? About 50 minutes from now, we're going to start giving away tickets to Coachella. We do it every hour between 9 and 5. 3-day passes.
Pretty sweet deal.
Pretty excited about that.
Are you disappointed Brian Wilson is not playing Coachella this weekend, Kevin? Are you good with that?
I'm good.
I don't know.
Brian Wilson.
Let's hear his new stuff, maybe.
Is the leader of a band called the Beach Boys that I believe is the most successful American rock band of all time. I think they sold more records than any American rock band in history. So he's
right?
got his history, his legacy is assured. But he's 72 years old and he keeps making new albums. And a lot of people maybe don't have time or need for a new Brian Wilson record, but he has one coming out today. It's available everywhere in stores and for download called No Peer Pressure. And he's got a lot of guest stars, Kevin, that younger people that you might be interested in. For instance, Zooey Deschanel sings on the album. Mm-hmm. Casey Musgraves is on the album. Nate from Fun. Cebu from Capital City. So he's still in touch with the younger generation. But a Brian Wilson song sounds like a Brian Wilson song. And here's a couple of clips, and then we'll tell you why we are playing these for you. A couple of clips from the new Brian Wilson. Like she don't care. Do we need it?
That's not very Brian Wilson-y to me. I think more harmonies, but...
I don't hate it, but I don't need it. I don't need it.
You don't need it. All right.
No.
How about this one? This one's called Our Special Love.
Special love can be found anywhere in the world except for here. That's where you are. What I'm thinking of can be found anywhere in the world except for here.
Do you think the problem is with a lot of these legacy artists that you have so much to compare it to that
right.
it does not make the new stuff reflect? Like, if this was an unknown artist, you would hear that and go, eh, that guy's talented, he's pleasant.
But you know
what? Compare
if this,
it to Surfing USA and you go, wow, this guy has lost it.
Yeah, I can see that. But if this is a new artist, you don't hear this. It's not good enough.
Yeah, maybe so.
It's not good enough to cut through without his history, I don't think.
Yeah. All right. Do we have Mr. Wilson on the phone?
We do.
Hello, hey, Brian. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you, V. How are you guys doing?
Good. Congratulations on the new album.
That's so funny. Did I tell a joke or something?
No. We're just having fun. Brian, we're just happy to hear your voice. Happy to talk to you, sir.
I'm happy to hear your voice, too. Hope you guys are having a good time.
We're having a good time, yes.
We're having a good time, too.
So, Brian, what were your thoughts? Like, why does a 72-year-old like you, who certainly doesn't need to work, what drives you to go back to the studio, write new songs, produce new music?
I've got a lot of music still inside me. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things I want to... with my music, and there's a lot of things that I think about with my music.
Right.
And so I love being in the studio, I love making the music, I love working with other musicians, and it was just great working on this album with all these people. And by the way, the name of the album, I heard you talk about it, it's No Peer Pressure, but it's P-I-E-R.
like a beach.
Right, because of peer at the beach, right.
Yeah, it's like peer.
Right.
Like about a beach.
Gotcha.
Right.
How's
Beach
your...
Boys?
What?
Right. Beach Boys.
Right.
Boys.
Yes, we got that. How is your health? You had some rather public problems with your brain back in the 1970s. Have you recovered pretty well?
Well, it's better than ever, really. I think you can tell that. It's just better than ever. I'm sharp as a tap.
That's what I've heard.
I like to say.
So this new album has, I think, the deluxe version has 18 songs on it. So you've been fairly prolific.
A bunch of songs on the deluxe version. I have so many new songs I couldn't even put them on the album the way I wanted to.
Right? Are you going to put out another album?
Or? I might have to because I got a bunch of songs that really I'm just dying for people to hear. They're just, I think some are even better than the ones that are made on the CD.
Could you play one for us now? Or is
here's a new one I've been working on. It's great. I think it's called Crabs.
Crabs.
I'm on the beach. Hey, look, a crab.
Wait a minute.
That's not a song.
That's not a song.
It is. I came to me when I was on the beach.
I'm on the beach.
That's just you seeing a crab.
Right. That's why it's called Crab. It's always Crab.
What? Do you have another?
Yeah, sure.
New one? Because that...
I walk along the beach. Ow! I stepped on a syringe. Ow!
Again,
I got songs called Syringes.
Okay, but that's really just more of an observation than it is a song.
Well, my songs are observations of life.
Mostly I see.
Life at the beach. I saw life at the beach.
Right. It's unfortunate that one didn't make the album.
This one's one of my favorites. Swimming in the ocean. Staying by the shore. Ow, jellyfish! Pee on me! Somebody pee on me! Jellyfish! Oh, jellyfish, it stinks so bad. Jellyfish stinks me so bad. Ow, ow, ow. I hope that'll be on the next album.
That's the hit.
Allie McKay.
Mean.
When you woke up this morning, you had no idea that it was going to be the best day of your life, did you?
I had hoped, but I didn't have a lot of faith.
Well, congratulations. Today's your day.
Allie, meet Doto. Doto, meet Allie. Hit it, Steve.
I need some babe!
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman! I was in Vietnam! I definitely need a Korean woman!
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives in a behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
And now the further adventures of Johto, international man of mystery, man.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Johto, who joins us on the phone back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doe, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Kevin, Bean, how's it going? It's been a while, Bean. I told Dave that I was looking at the LAPD because they have a job fair.
All right, hold on. Whoa. Slow your roll there, player.
We're not at the LAPD yet, Doe, but we are going to get there. Say hi to Allie McKay first. I don't think you've met Allie, have you?
Well, hi, Allie. How are you doing?
Doing great, Johto. How are you?
Good. You're good. Yeah.
Okay. Doe, because I know you're too shy to ask right out of the gate. She is not 5'7 or 5'8. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. So she's not going to be right for you.
I wasn't going to ask that, Kevin Bean. I was kind of sad, Kevin Bean, that the one of the famous public figure died yesterday, Kevin Bean, in Southeast Asia.
A famous public figure died yesterday, Doe? Who was that?
Yeah. It was with the guy, Singapore.
Singapore. I remember him well, yeah.
The guy Singapore? What are you talking about, Doe?
Yeah, but I thought he ruled the country with an iron fist. He came from nothing and brought the country to economic prosperity, and he died in 91. I thought that's kind of pretty sad, right, Kevin Bean, that someone with that type of talent passed away, right, Bean?
Well, he was 91 years old, and it sounds like he had a pretty good and a pretty productive life.
Yeah, but he promoted clean government, clean environment and no corruption. So it's almost like a totalitarian society. At least that works in that society, right, Kevin Bean?
Well, I don't know if you ever should rule with an iron fist, Johto. I still believe democracy is the best form of government.
Yeah, that makes sense, Bean.
That's right, actually Ralph.
I'm Ralph. That was Ralph. That's okay.
Well, listen,
Bean, if I go to Seattle, Bean, do you mind if I visit you 7 days a week, Bean?
No, hell yes.
Can we pay for that?
That's exactly what he wants you to do, Doe.
I insist,
7 days a week.
I insist on it, first of all. But hold on a second. Dave told me that are you in Portland, Oregon right now?
Yeah, I'm there for a few days with my cousin.
Why are you in Portland? Just visiting family? That's it?
Yeah, because I like the green, Kevin Bean. I like the environment. It's more calmer.
It's more calmer.
Yes. Yes.
You have to drive to Seattle. You know I'm only 2.5 hours from you.
I never drive to Seattle. I flew, Kevin Bean, United Airlines.
Right, but what I'm saying is you're already in Portland. You can either drive or fly, but come up and see me this week. Let's hang out, Doe. I'll show you around town.
I didn't know you live in Portland, Bean. I thought you lived in Seattle, man.
He does, Doe. He just mentioned the fact that you would have to travel from Portland to Seattle to see him, but he wants you to come visit.
And, yeah, sure. I like that, Bean.
That's Ralph. That's Ralph again. All right, Doe, let's talk about what's on your mind. You have decided, after years of telling us that you hope to make it in the entertainment industry.
When I'm saying, I thought I still like to do entertainment, but I thought that the LAPD, this is hard to look into, right, Greg? Because a couple of weeks ago they had a job fair, and I guess I was looking into it, and is it very, very selective, Bean, to get into that stuff? Is it pretty easy, Bean?
Oh, no, they'll just take anyone.
Yeah. The LAPD is a great pathway to the entertainment industry. A lot of people do go that route.
Yeah, but Kevin, I thought that in the LAPD, I thought it's kind of pretty dangerous out there, Kevin Bean, because I thought I don't know who I'm going to be dealing with, right?
Oh, yes, police work is dangerous, Johto. Of course it is. Yes, that seems to be obvious, right?
So, Doe, hang on a second here. Why are you on a twin career path of law enforcement and stand-up comedy? Why are you approaching both of those at the same time? What's happening?
I don't know, because sometimes I might have too much anxiety on my mind, Bean. I like to do stuff, but I just have to focus on which one's better. Yeah.
Okay, what is it about being a police? Look, there's nothing wrong with being a police officer. It's a very honorable profession. We are grateful for the people and the fine work that the men and women of the LAPD do for us. We're glad that people want to be cops. But why do you think that's a job that's well suited for you, Johto?
But Bean, what type of test would I be doing? To be honest, Bean, what type of criteria would they be looking for?
There's a physical test. You're going to have to pass that first of all. There's a, I would assume, a psychiatric test you would have to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What type of question would they be asking on the psychiatric test?
Have you ever killed anyone?
No.
Or thought about killing anyone?
And then are they going to do like credit card?
You skipped that answer. Yeah. I noticed.
Have you ever had thoughts about killing someone, Johto?
No. Are they going to do like credit card report checks all that, Kevin Bean?
I mean, I think they would do a background check. Yeah, they would want to know. They would want to know what your financial situation was, in addition to your family situation, your psychiatric situation, and your physical. Absolutely, they want to know everything about you to make sure that you're well-rounded and healthy and in a good space to take on that kind of stressful job. I think.
That's just a thought, Kevin Bean. That's something that at least I can look into. At least it doesn't hurt, you know, Kevin Bean.
Are you thinking about being a police officer simply because they had a job fair?
No.
Is it just anyone had a job fair, you'd be interested in that career?
No.
Nope. So in other words, if he drove by NASA, Ralph, he might think, hey, I should be an astronaut, Kevin Abid.
CIA, come down to the interview. Maybe just be a spy.
I looked it up for you, though, and there is no maximum age limit on applying for a job with the LAPD.
Of course I know that, Kevin Bean. I'm not blind, Bean.
Well, I didn't know that until I looked it up. I thought maybe you were too old to be a cop, but you're not.
But at least it doesn't hurt to look. It doesn't mean I can do it, Kevin Bean. To look into different opportunities, right, Kevin Bean?
Do you think you'd like to be out on the street protecting citizens from crime in a uniform as a LAPD officer?
I'm kind of skeptical. I've never done that. I've never done that from childhood to now. So
from childhood to now, you've never been a police officer before?
Not even when you were like a toddler?
Did you never dabbled in police work even as a teen?
I never worked in any type of police work, to be honest.
Oh, I'm surprised. Most of us have.
But I love to do it.
Most of us experimented a little bit in middle school.
I love to ask questions about Steven Seagal.
Of course you would.
Well, that's what the LAPD is looking for. All right, so listen, Doe, we're almost out of time, but here's what I've come up with. Here's my takeaway from this conversation is this week you're going to drive to Seattle and we're going to hang out and I'm going to show you around the town. We're going to do that. That's going to happen, right?
Really? I'm driving to Seattle, Bean?
Yes. You're in Portland. We're a couple of hours away. I want you to come up and visit with me. Why not, Doe?
That could work, Kevin. That could work, Bean.
Okay.
It could work. I hope it does work.
And then when you get back, you're going to go down to the LAPD and you're going to fill out their forms and see where it takes you. See, there's like you said, there's no harm in trying, right, Doe?
But I really like to do interviews, like entertainment, you know, talk show, Bean.
We have offered you 1,000 opportunities to do that, and you never come through. Mm. Doe?
Yeah.
How many times has Dave said to you, come down to the station and we'll...
I know, Dave said, you know what, just get Dave says, if you want to succeed, just get your butt out there, right?
Right.
Right. Exactly.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to Officer Toe myself personally. I think this could be a new calling for you, and this could be the right peg in the right hole finally for you, Goto.
Yeah, you know, I think time's going to tell, Kevin, and it's kind of too hard to say. I'm with you.
That's an excellent point, and I think we'll leave it there. Doe, I'll see you soon, my friend. Thanks for calling the Kevin Abid Show.
Thanks, Kevin Bean. Thanks,
Kevin. Bye-bye. Doe, international man of mystery, man. Yeah!
You listen to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. Good morning, boys and girls. The boys are on vacation, Allie McKay as well, but I am still here giving you your hourly dose of show business news with the Showbiz Beat. And wouldn't it be a fun day if we could go without mentioning Kim Kardashian? But I just can't help myself because she's so infuriating. She is apparently in the south of France right now and complaining about the fact that she had a run-in with a naked woman in her hotel room. Apparently at 4 a.m., a naked, drunken woman showed up at her door thinking it was her room and tried to let herself in using an American Express credit card. She was putting the Amex card in the slot of the hotel room, thinking it was her key card, trying to get in, banging on the door. A drunk, naked woman banging on the door at 4 a.m. I think she just wanted some career advice from Kim Kardashian. That's why she was there. And I'm surprised an Amex wouldn't open Kim's room. I would think credit card would be just the thing to let you into Kim Kardashian's room. Eddie Murphy is back with his musical career. Most of us know Eddie as an actor, comedian. But apparently he's very serious about his new career as a reggae singer. He had a song called Oh Ya Ya from earlier this year, and now he has just dropped his new single, One of These Nights. That's Wanna WONNA, Wanna D's, DEEZ, D's Nights, featuring Jamaican dance hall legend Beanie Man. Here's a little taste of Eddie Murphy and Beanie Man, the new single, Wanna D's Nights.
But wanna
That's pretty good. I still miss Boogie in the Butt, though. That's what I want from Eddie Murphy. I don't want any serious reggae music from Eddie Murphy. I want a little man in my butt. And the happiest, well, second happiest place on Earth, I guess. If Disneyland is the happiest place on Earth, would Disney World be the second happiest place on Earth? What do you think, Chip?
Well, Alan, Disney World is bigger, so you think by area alone,
maybe it's
it would
the happiest
trump it,
place.
But...
Well, I think it falls to second now because of this news. There's a new treat available at Disney World in the Animal Kingdom. I guess they have various kingdoms there in Disney World. In the Animal Kingdom at Zuri's Sweet Shop, they're now selling a new delicious dessert. It's animal poop. Not actual animal poop, but it is. It's several different desserts shaped like different kinds of animal droppings. Giraffe poop, for example, is a set of five large balls of brownie. You can eat some giraffe poop if you like. You have three other choices of crap to choose from. Rhino poop, elephant poop, and cotton-top tamarind poop. Indeed, the elephant poop involves oats and peanut butter. I'm gagging a little bit just telling this story. Tamarind poop has pretzels and chocolate peanut butter fudge. And rhino poop, apparently just chocolate fudge, caramel brownie, peanut butter, and oats. So each order of animal poop costs you around $4. Then you can go about the animal kingdom eating eating faux animal poop.
Nope.
That sounds delicious. Well done, Disney. Once again, you've captured our fancy. You know exactly what it takes to make us happy. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of delicious treats, Chef Anthony Bourdain. Also TV personality with his Top Chef, and he's got that No Reservation show, 59 years old today. George Michael's 52. Ricky Gervais, funny man, 54 years old. Angela Kinsey from The Office is 44. Linda Cardellini celebrates her 40th birthday today, and Busy Phillips. Those two starred together on Freaks and Geeks. Busy is 36 years old today. Happy birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Walk the Moon on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Hey, don't forget at 9... Excuse me. Let me take that back right now. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, you can win your tickets to Coachella. We got a pair of sold-out passes for you and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. Plus, you're qualified to win a new car. It's a 2015 turbocharged. Allie, do you want to try to say it since Dave makes fun of me every time I try to say it?
Abarth.
Abarth.
The Fiat. Say it again.
Abarth.
Thank you. Grand prize winner will be drawn on Friday, April the 10th. You can get all the details at krock.com. That's at 5 o'clock today. All right. So I was on vacation last week. The monkey is gone this week.
Yeah.
And I went to Mississippi. We talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And one of the things that I was excited about going to Mississippi is there are lots of famous grave sites in Mississippi.
Sure. That's excitable stuff right there on a vacation. You want to see a lot of graves.
By the way, very disappointing. When I went to the Jefferson Davis Presidential House and Museum, the president of the Confederacy, he is not buried there in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Bitch.
He's buried in the capital of the Confederacy in Richmond. So I was not able to go to his grave. I would have liked to have seen that. But I did visit the great blues singer Robert Johnson's grave.
Mm-hmm.
John Lee Hooker's grave I visited as well while I was there. I couldn't find Paul Davis's grave. I did try.
What does that mean?
Paul Davis.
Because you searched for a while.
Do you still go crazy over Paul Davis?
As a matter of fact, I do, Ralph. He was a pop singer, well known in the 70s and 80s for songs like 65 Love Affair and Cool Night and I Go Crazy. And I was in Meridian, Mississippi to go to the Jimmy Rogers Museum, and I did see his grave. But I didn't. I couldn't find Paul Davis's. And Ralph, you were mocking me about going to gravesites.
Yes.
On vacation. Now tell me why, because to me that makes perfect sense as a spot of interest to go visit in an area when you're visiting.
It is the least of all things to look at when you're on vacation. Of all the things, of buildings and sites and actual things that are things, you're going and you're looking at the ground with a dude's name on it. You're looking at the ground and there's a piece of rock with a dude's name on it. And right. You're going out of your way to do that.
Right, but it's a final resting place. And I'm talking about going to see somebody you admire. It's a final resting place. It's a chance to go be close to that person and say goodbye.
You know they're not
and
there,
say thank
right?
You.
You know they're not there to hear you say goodbye or thank you or anything. They're just bones in a box in the dirt.
I understand what you're saying, but
I don't think you do, because if you did, you wouldn't be going to graves.
I think for me, Bean, it's the depth of your love for these people. Like, for me, a family member, understandable, got it. Certain people that you honor, look up to, but these just seem like, oh, they're in Mississippi, let's go visit them.
I've heard this name, I'm going to go see his death spot.
Yeah, I just question how you choose.
Now, you went to Graceland, you were telling me off the air. Right,
right yes.
And
I saw the house where he lived.
Okay.
And I could envision him in that setting, and I could envision what the Elvis Presley life was like. When I was in the jungle room, I said, here's where he sat, and watched his three TVs and shot them out with his guns. I remember those stories. I got to visit that place. And then they take you in the backyard, and that's where he's buried, under a slab of rock. And they say, well, here he is. And I'm like, nope, that's not him. That's me looking at a slab of rock in the ground. This is the least interesting part of this entire tour.
But that's his final resting place. I mean, that is kind of, in a way, that's the ultimate memorial to Elvis Presley.
But it's
is
not
his
my
grave.
Resting place. I don't need to rest there. I need to move on. I need to keep moving. I'm alive.
Well, I suggested yesterday when this came up that I bet a lot of our listeners have visited a lot of graves. And I would be interested to find out who you've gone to see and why. What celebrity graves have you visited? For instance, Stephen wrote in on Twitter when he heard us mention that we were having this conversation later in the show. He said he has been to the grave of Dimebag Darrell, of Jimi Hendrix, of Bruce Lee, of Selena, and Johnny Appleseed. He's been to all of those graves.
Was he in those cities and they happened to be there, or did he go on a trip to those graves?
He doesn't say. This is just a tweet. I don't know.
Something
but maybe
I'd like to know.
Maybe with our callers, maybe we can get a little more detail on how they ended up at the grave. I mean, were they just driving by and there it was, or did they seek it out? Did they go out of their way to see a famous person's grave? And if so, see if you can help me explain to Ralph why that's a thing that somebody would want to do. Let's take one real quick before the break, and let's make it Mike in Montebello. He's on line one. Maybe he can shed some light, because I'm unable to convince Ralph that it makes sense. Mike, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Well, you know the rapper Eazy-E, he is buried in Rosehill.
Uh-huh.
And you know, sometimes me and my buddies, we like to go up there and have a little smoke break with him.
Now, do you pour one out for your homie?
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Ralph, what are your thoughts about that? Honoring Eazy-E by going up and having a little smoke break with
him?
Well,
you can't smoke anywhere else. I could see why you would choose that place. You know, you're not really spending any time with him, right? This isn't a celebrity moment with you where you're partying with Eazy-E just because you're near his grave.
I mean, it's just fun. It's something, you know, interesting, you know.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Respect the man.
Yes. And, thank you.
You know,
respect
you
the man by,
you know,
by pouring some malt liquor on his dirt.
I think it's more spiritual. I think it's spiritual.
Is it spiritual now? Like, okay.
No,
I'm with Mike. Mike, thank you for the call. All right, we're taking your calls. Whose grave have you visited and why? 1-800-520-1067. Your call's right after this on K-Rock. We're taking your calls right now on celebrity grave sites that you have visited and why. I think it's a perfectly legitimate way to show respect to someone you're a fan of. Ralph thinks it's a big, fat waste of time.
Liz, aren't you closer to the spirit of the person by visiting the places where they lived and worked than you are by standing by their bones when they're dead?
I think they're similar. I think they're similar. I think you're getting the same sort of thing. You're visiting two different places that are very significant in that person's life.
Mm.
Tanya writes in, I just went to Edgar Allan Poe's grave when I was in Baltimore, and I live in Simi Valley where tons of people go visit President Reagan's grave at the library there.
Mm.
Anna writes in, we just came back from Seattle yesterday, and we made sure that we visited the Jimi Hendrix gravesite and also Kurt Cobain's house where he committed suicide. We are hardcore music fans, and we felt we needed to show some respect to those two icons. So she got something out of that visit, right?
But what? Tell me, get to the point of it. Respect and honor. What's the real thing? What's the attraction? Why do you want to be near the bones of someone?
All right. Let's see if Fred can help us out, help us understand. He's in Marina Del Rey. He's on line six. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Fred. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. Whose grave did you visit and why?
Well, I visited a couple. I visited John Lennon's grave, and I also visited Jim Morrison's grave.
Okay. Now, explain to Ralph how that pays tribute to people to be close to where they're buried.
Well, when it comes to Jim Morrison, I saw him at the Roxy when I was growing up. I was in France. It was one of the items on my checklist to go see.
Okay,
and,
why?
It's part of the music, part of me growing up.
Right.
You know, it gave me a sense, it gave me a good feeling just to be standing there.
Why? Again, no one's answering my why.
Why? Well, I'll tell you what, it's kind of a checklist. Mm. This year I'm going to Italy, I'm going to go to the World's Fair, go to Germany, go to Oktoberfest. It's a checklist.
It's a checklist. Okay. Thank you for the call, Fred. Appreciate that. Let's go to Woodland Hills. Our man Steve is on the line. He's on line 5, and he's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling. Whose grave did you visit and why?
How's it going, Kevin and Bean?
Hey, good. Steve.
You know, been listening to you guys for 22 years. It's the first time I actually got on the air with you.
Anyway, all right. Well, thank you for calling and for listening.
Make it count, Steve. Make it count, man.
We'll do. So I was actually over in Israel back in 2002, and I was visiting on a birthright trip, and went over to the Palestinian side of Jerusalem to go over to Jesus' tomb so I could light candles at his grave and, you know, say the prayers for my friends in San Fernando. We're all Catholic.
Hold on a sec. Hold on a sec. Jesus has a tomb?
Yeah, the Holy Sepulchre.
I didn't know that. I didn't know Jesus was buried anywhere. I thought he escaped.
Well, he rose again, I believe, is what happened.
Well, basically, obviously, there's no body there, but that's where, where they take his day, and they rose the church around it, and it's actually a pretty cool church over there. I'm Jewish, but, you know, you got to appreciate all kinds of history and cultures, right?
Sure. So that for you, was going to a spot that has historical and religious significance and just kind of wanting to see it in person and feel the vibe?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you're in a place like Israel, especially in Jerusalem, I mean, the history is just astounding. So, you know, going to a place like that, you know, it gives you two things. One, you're going to get the history of the place, but also you get the real feeling of the place. Because you got to figure, so people have been going there for the last, you know, 1,600 years to go pay tribute to Jesus. And just like, you know, at the Western Wall, you've got, you know, people pouring out their hearts and souls into a rock, basically, you know.
Right. Now, how about that, Ralph, as a historical location?
I think for religious purposes, specifically, if you're a religious person or a student of history and you want to see that because of the history of that location, that I can get behind. That makes sense to me.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That and like an Arlington cemetery, I get that. It's a history. It's a reverence. It's a gratefulness that you get.
And it also makes you sink in about the sense of loss and the inanity of war and that kind of thing.
Yes.
It makes it important. Yeah, I can see that too.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Yvonne Pomona, line 2.
Jesus is a pretty big star. I think if you're going to go to a grave, that's a pretty big one.
But bigger than Elvis, though?
A little bit.
Come on. Hey, Yvonne, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Happy Tequila Tuesday, guys.
It looks to me like you go to a lot of graves. Tell me why.
It was actually the same day. I was in Burbank with my brother, and we were passing by the Hollywood Hills Cemetery, and I thought that's where Michael Jackson was, but I ended up finding Paul Walker's. And to me, Paul Walker, like, his death has always really, like, got to me really bad, and I don't know why. Being there, it felt like, in a sense, he was there, like, I met him in a way.
But you didn't.
No,
right?
I didn't.
Yeah.
And then me and my brother went to go see, after that cemetery, we went to the Glendale Forest Lawn. We tried to get as close as we could to Michael Jackson, but he's inside one of the mausoleums and we couldn't get inside.
What a dick.
He doesn't love his fans, Michael Jackson.
He doesn't love his fans at all, man.
He wants to be all alone and dead. He doesn't want to hang out with people when he's dead, man. What a dick.
And
why so standoffish, man?
I love Disney. I love Disneyland, everything Disney. So we found Walt Disney's gravesite as well.
Well, what's left of Walt Disney was in there, right?
Huh?
They froze his head, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah. So, all right, so you visit Walt Disney and you do what? You just go, hey, thanks,
there
Walt?
That is.
Well, it was just a good feeling being there, like knowing, like paying respect.
That's what I'm saying, paying respect.
You know, you pay more respect by going to Disneyland, the place that he built with his hands and love and vision You'd pay more respect by enjoying that than you do by standing by his bones.
I have an annual pass, so I do that all the time.
Yeah, boom. Back off, Ralph. Back off.
Got it covered. All right, Yvonne, glad you called.
I still can't get over Michael Jackson. What a dick.
I know. Seriously. That's my takeaway as well. Thanks for the calls, everybody. He has asked me to inform you that he is a two-time Emmy Award winner, author, actor John Cryer joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Thank
you. Once again,
Mr.
Cryer, how are you, sir?
I'm good. There was a long list of things you were supposed to pimp for me, but that was it. That's the only one I get.
That was, the most important.
Yes,
that was the two-time Emmy Award winner.
National Treasure. You forgot National Treasure.
National Treasure, of course. John's book is available now at all retailers, online and in stores. It's called So That Happened. It's his autobiography. And it occurred to me as I was reading it, John, and I may be the guy who read your book, but it occurs to me.
Thank you, guy who read my book.
That the first time we had you on the Kevin and Bean Show, I remember it well because we were very excited to have you as a guest. You were promoting your film, The Pompous of Love, which had to have been, what, like 1996 or something like that?
Something like that. That was the first time?
That was the first time we had you on, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So you have been coming on this show, though, for almost 20 years.
Dude, I've been doing K-Rock since 1985.
What? Really?
Okay, yes. I was here when Swedish Eagle
nice.
Was here, yes. So,
did you do Loveline back in the 80s, too?
Yes, I'm certain I did. Yes, I go way back.
You go way back. Well, it's always great to see you, and it's very exciting that we have you in here for this book. Now, did somebody come to you and ask you to write a book, or is this something you kind of inflicted on the world?
Yes, exactly. You sound astonished that a human being with dignity would approach me and say, could you please write a book?
But, I mean, has everyone else written a book, and they got to you? I mean,
know,
how
exactly.
did this happen?
They ran out of people to write books, and so I was left. No, actually, this came up. I lost a bet, basically. I bet my manager that she couldn't get me a book deal, and I lost.
So she brought it up, and then you said that'll never happen.
And I said that'll never happen because it's hard to write books, and and I don't like doing things that are hard. Mm-hmm. I'm elderly now, and she said no. I think you've got some fun stories to tell, and you know she was right. The more I thought about it,
what was the bet?
The bet was that I don't think you can get me a book deal.
And if she doesn't get her cut, she doesn't get a percentage or something, she loses? You win!
Yes,
so she should lose something.
That's a terrible bet on her part.
I hope you fired her. Once she got you the lucrative book deal, I hope you fired her.
You are done.
You're done in this business.
That is how I treat most of the people that work for me.
Sure, we know.
So, John, when you sit down and you start writing about your life, particularly a guy like you who has been acting for how long now? 30 years?
35 years?
Okay, so
wait. I actually did a commercial when I was four. So,
wow.
44 years. For Zestabs, a multivitamin for kids that was packed with sugar.
That's quite a selling point.
Exactly.
Lots of energy, though.
It was zesty.
Energy.
They were zesty.
So, and I love that story of the book, by the way, because they had to recast his sister. So he was actually in the commercial with a fake actress playing his sister.
Playing my sister. That I would have loved to recast my real-life sister.
So I guess my question was going to be, when you sit down and you realize, hey, I'm going to write a book, you have to decide what level of honesty is going to be in this book. Because you've seen some things. I mean, you've been to the Playboy Mansion. You've done a lot of stuff. And I imagine there are some stories that you had to hold back. Was that tough for you to decide what could make the book and what wouldn't?
Anything that constituted a felony did not make it.
I think that's a good rule. Limitations came into effect.
Exactly. Exactly. I studied the legal statutes of the state of California. I tried to be real honest, and I at one point admitted that, that when Charlie Sheen and I were both single, I had, visited, some of the ladies of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
John
bless
Cryer
him.
Got a hooker. That's
yes.
in the book, you guys.
And that should have been the title, now that I think about it, because for all the press that received.
Yeah.
I think you're the only one who's ever done that.
Exactly.
That's
I'm the only one. And what was great was the legend is growing because Michael Douglas, of all people, came up to me after he and I did a bit on Fallon. And he said, so is it true Charlie got you a hooker for your birthday? And I was like, whoa, this story is changing constantly.
Was it true or false that you spent most of your hour helping that young lady with her taxes?
Yes, that is true, sadly.
That's the saddest visit ever to a hooker.
That should be a do-over then.
Well, but also, in retrospect, the financial advice I gave her wasn't very good. And that's what I'm truly mortified about. Exactly.
That'll teach her.
We are talking to actor John Cryer here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. His book is available everywhere. It's called So That Happened. And I have to say, John, I was very impressed by, I guess I didn't realize, you're a little bit of a prodigy. You mentioned that you started doing commercials at 4. Have you ever had a non-show business job? Because I see that you were on Broadway practically in high school. So has this been your whole life?
No, I had my very first job was passing out leaflets on the street for a gym. Okay. And as you can see, I am a physical specimen.
Sure, right.
Hey, I want to really look like that guy. Let's go to the gym.
Let's go to that guy's gym.
On the leaflet? Is that what it was?
but what I did learn a lot about rejection from that job, and it was very helpful because nobody wants to take a leaflet on the street. Yeah. Certainly not from some squirrely guy handing out things for a gym.
Right. Was there ever a time in your career, down years, where you thought you would have to get a non-show business job?
Yes. Yes. There were about 3 years from 2000, and you guys made fun of it, which was great.
Yeah, we did.
Where all of my shows just kept bombing.
Yeah.
Until it became, I think I made a bet with you guys.
Yeah.
About whether my show would make it, and I actually won the bet because a show called The Trouble with Normal lasted 8 episodes instead of 7.
Right.
So beat us by one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did we ever pay
in your face? I think I won tickets to the Christmas.
We were going to go to see
Christmas.
Anyway.
Yes. Exactly. Oh man! See, I'm bad at betting. I'm really bad at betting people things.
You seem to be incredibly honest about a lot of stuff that a lot of people wouldn't want out there. You know, you have kids.
Yes, I have children. And actually, there is a disclaimer at the beginning of the book because I dedicate the book to my children. But then I ask them, please don't read the part about the prostitute. And I think that's a good heads up.
Right.
I'm just trying to put it out there. I wrote the book for adults. I figured what kind of book would I want to read? And, my kids actually aren't that interested in me.
Yeah, well,
okay, you got that going for you.
That's yes, exactly.
They're the American public.
Exactly.
Oh, what is wrong with you?
That was the start of one of the most successful comedies in television history.
History. Bean?
I kid because I love.
We're talking about.
Right. Tennessee.
No, that lasted 14 episodes. Thank you very much.
No, I did love that series,
okay.
by the way.
Thank you.
You and Alex Rocco were quite the team together.
I'm so glad you brought up the part about the show killer because you do talk about it in the book, and I genuinely felt bad.
You did not.
No, I did. I genuinely
felt
bad.
Absolutely
not. I did. And here's why. Because when I read the book, I realized that this was fun for us as wacky radio DJs to make fun of this guy on TV who was obviously richer and handsomer and more successful than we'd ever be because that's how we bring ourselves up. But for John, it was a very real crisis for a while there that really affected you deeply. I mean, you wrote a letter to Time Magazine lambasting them for calling you a show killer. I mean, it was hurtful to you, and I want to apologize now for all the fun we made at your expense back then.
Well, thank you.
Easy, Barbara Walters.
She's a dick. Come on.
Yeah, it's true.
She's a dick.
So you feared you might not get on a show that would last, and that that had to be scary as an actor.
Yeah, no, I had by 2003. I was looking at, having to sell my house and given, there are people all over the world who face much worse situations than that. It was pretty scary for me, who has no marketable skills or intellect.
You can hand out leaflets.
I can.
You got that in your back
with the best of them.
You can do hooker taxes.
Wait a minute. This is a segment of the marketplace.
It's a nice trade deal.
Underserved.
Currently underserved. I all those speeches that your parents gave you about having something to fall back on start ringing in your ears, But one thing that I loved about show business from the beginning was how stupid it was and that it's kind of unfair and that it's always entertaining. So on some level, I was able to go through that time just because, I was entertained by how dumb it was and unfair it was.
You have such an amazing sense of humor, though, in that you would, I don't know, how many series was it that you came in and then
and
forced us to
bet on? What you're saying?
I think it was like three or four series.
It was four series
how
in a row.
Why would you come here?
What is your problem?
Why would you come to this show if that's the way you're treated?
Well, you know, the thing was, every time, and in your guys' defense, I'm a writer, guys. I'm now an author. They let me write a book. In your defense, for those first three shows, you guys were super cool about it and were always promoting it and helping it. And if you watched the show, you'd say you watched the show and you'd say you liked it. And
we
so,
were rooting for you.
So exactly. So you set me up beautifully to hammer me down that last fourth time.
Yeah. Well, you got the last laugh by being on one of the most successful sitcoms in television history, by the way. And you probably don't need to work again. So I was
driven by getting revenge on you people.
Exactly. Hey, what do you mean by you people, man? John Cryer is here. The book is terrific. It's called So That Happened. We have many more questions. Allie hasn't even revealed her lifelong crush on Mr. Cryer yet, yeah. So that'll happen, and we'll talk more when we return right after this on K-Rock. Can I say best-selling author John Cryer in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show? Are we at that point yet?
You can say that.
Okay.
You can say
that. Where are you on the charts?
I am number 19.
With a bullet.
But I tell you, I'm getting killed by Candace Bergen's book. Getting killed.
Who has any interest in that?
Exactly.
She had a brother who was a puppet. You can't beat that. That's fascinating stuff,
that,
John.
It is. You're right. Your
brother
is
made out of wood.
She's a bitch.
Kevin doesn't get that reference, Ralph, but it was very funny.
Thank you.
The new book from John Cryer is called So That Happened, and it's very, very funny. All right, let's get into some of the dirt here. Allie, first of all, have you met Mr. Cryer?
Just now,
This is the only time I've seen Allie McKay speechless. She's kind of staring at him, just mouth agape.
It was sort of nice.
John, you were her teenage crush. This is a very big moment for her.
Here's the thing. So many people love 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink. But a lot of people love Jake from 16 Candles. That was their crush.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, Jake.
You were my Jake.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was my Jake.
I've waited my entire life to have someone say, you were my Jake.
You were my Jake.
Thank you. I'm sadly married.
To a newswoman of all people.
To a hot newswoman, by the way.
But thank you. That is so kind of you to say.
But, John, you hear that a lot. I mean, you must have a lot of people who grew up and Ducky was their thing and they thought he was their best friend or he was going to be their boyfriend or something like that. You must have been hearing that your whole career, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But some people try to sort of escape the legacy of the roles that they used to do. But for me, it's great because I figure if you've done a role that people remember and take to their heart like that, you have to be incredibly grateful for that as an actor.
Well, there are actors and actresses that go, but what, you know, I'm doing stuff now, and so I'm a little offended by that.
Well, and you've done 30 or 50 other TV shows and movies since then, but people still want to talk to you about Ducky.
But those were forgettable, which is great, which works out very well.
But when you grow up, too, there's no danger of you being typecast as sort of a high school nerd because you'll never be that age again.
Again,
so
exactly.
To do something else.
Johnny
exactly.
Mitchell, he wore leg warmers, by the way.
I should say that.
He wore leg warmers.
Oh, my
that
Lord.
Happened.
That's a part of the book, too, if you don't
deal.
Mind talking about it, for people that are obsessed with Pretty in Pink. That your situation there maybe wasn't the most fun.
Oh, well, yes. When shooting Pretty in Pink, I don't know if you guys have had Molly Ringwald or Andrew McCarthy in the studio, but they're different kinds of people than
yes.
me. They're not particularly outgoing. They're just quiet people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, when I am faced with people like that, I freak out and panic because they don't communicate in the same way I do. I'm from New York. Mm-hmm. This is how I am. And
John's using his hands a lot, by the way,
already.
For those who can't see us.
I wish you could see this.
You said in the book
you can hear the winds of the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
You said in the book that you assume everybody was going to be best friends.
Exactly.
Because that's how you are. And...
Well, also because I come from the theater where it's kind of like a traveling circus. You know, you're putting on a show and everybody knows each other and hangs out.
You become family.
Yeah. And that doesn't happen in movies. And that really threw me off. And so I just assumed they hated me. They did a little.
She didn't even want you for the role.
There's another thing I didn't know at the time. I only discovered that, 25 years later when I was watching the DVD extras on the Pretty in Pink DVD. They put out an anniversary DVD. And yes, I'm that sad that I sit at home watching
your
own movies.
Watching my own movies.
It's not sad unless that's literally how you found out that she didn't want you as that role.
That is literally how I found out she didn't want me as that role. I was like, what? But it did explain it because there was not that sort of sexual chemistry that she and I had, mm-hmm. you know? And now that I found out that she actually wanted Robert Downey Jr. for that part and that she would have felt that sexual chemistry with him, which she openly admits.
Wouldn't we all?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't.
But you
don't
get the last laugh because whatever happened to him?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. In obscurity, that fella is.
Was it also? Of course, I know the answer to this, but it's fun to talk about it. Pretty in Pink was such a huge success that kind of spoiled you for movies for a while, right? Because most people don't have that kind of experience so early in their career.
Yes, it is. It's a little terrifying at the time because you think, wow, I've had, you know, what might be my biggest success when I'm 19. Mm. You know, that's a little scary. But what I did was I just made a piece of crap after piece of crap after that, and that was my formula.
Good. All right, just destroy your career so you wouldn't have to do any pressure.
Exactly,
it was a palate cleanser.
Worked beautifully.
I was like, forget about that. Well, look at this.
Look how bad I can be.
But actually, that was a fun thing to discuss in the book. Was that it was how I managed to just sort of destroy my career in like four movies. But obviously, you know, the fullness of time has given me the sense of humor about that. At the
absolutely,
time, they all seem like good ideas. Yeah.
I thought this was interesting. John Cryer's here again. We're talking about his book that's available for purchase everywhere online and in stores, and it's terrific, and it's called So That Happened, and you should get it. Even if you read one chapter and it involves Carol Channing and a monkey, please get this book. It's worth the price of admission.
He's just joking
that story.
About that.
It's the greatest chapter I think I've read on any celebrity autobiography. I was also, and I can't believe I never put this together, John, it was amazing to me when Ashton Kutcher replaced Charlie Sheen on 2 and a Half Men. It never occurred to me that you dated Demi Moore back when Ashton Kutcher was a little boy. You were dating Demi Moore, and now he's your co-star in this show. It must have been so awkward and uncomfortable.
It was. But, you know, well, the reason that it's been a secret all these years is I can't imagine Demi was hoping to shout it to the rooftops. I have a feeling she
wanted to date Robert
that.
Downey Jr.
Yeah.
I remember reading that somewhere. Yeah.
Forget Broderick.
It was a little strange because he and I, they, you know, if you recall, when Charlie Sheen was fired, they, you know, there was this big hullabaloo about whether the show would continue. And it was this big secret, you know, and we go in the book, I describe all the crazy machinations that were happening at that time. But getting Ashton in was considered this coup. And so there was this huge amount of pressure on he and I having comedic chemistry.
Yes.
And yet I didn't know if she'd ever told him that we used to date. So it was a very tense.
See, that's
meeting.
Awkward at a dinner party. That's ridiculous on the set of a TV show that's worth millions of dollars.
How soon did it come up?
It came up after our first meeting, at the very end of the meeting, in retrospect, I'll bet he was enjoying how uncomfortable I was. Because he leaned out of his car as he was about to drive away and said, hey, she told me everything's cool.
I was like, waited to the last possible
moment. To the last
you were tortured the whole
moment.
Time.
Yes.
That's some BS.
And I also didn't know how close it came to being Hugh Grant and not Ashton Kutcher for 2 and a Half Men.
Yeah.
How crazy would that have been?
He was actually signed to do the show.
Yeah,
for an hour and a half, he was going to be doing it.
Wow.
And then I got a call. Oh, nope, it's not going to happen.
He loves hookers, too.
Exactly. I swear, I think that was the impetus.
Is this sort of like, is writing this book sort of like therapy in that everything you went through with 2 and a Half Men and Charlie Sheen, for example, just that seems like it would traumatize most people. Now you're going back and sort of reliving it.
It was interesting because I part of why I wanted to write the book was because being in the middle of that, where this was a worldwide sort of cyclone of internet crap storm, being in the middle of that was fascinating and horrible. And also the most horrible thing about it was I genuinely care about Charlie Sheen and thought that the world was basically goading him to kill himself. You know, and that was really disturbing to live through.
He was getting too much praise for how out of control he was.
Exactly. And that,
there's no question.
And I felt like if people saw what was going on inside that, they might have understood that.
So they wouldn't be celebrating his acting in that way if we knew what was behind it?
Well, no, not celebrating his acting. Celebrating
his acting out.
His acting out, yeah. Yes. You know, because some people really, you know, he's their hero for doing what he did.
Right.
You know, but the reality of it was that he was a guy
with
a serious addiction who had been told, you can't do that anymore. Mm.
And you were genuinely hurt when he turned on you.
Well, of course, you know, but my biggest worry at the time, again, was that the next day he'd be dead, you know, you know, all that was bad.
Are you guys cool now, John?
We're on speaking terms, certainly.
Did he text, read the book, love it?
No, he has not, which to me says he probably doesn't.
Because or didn't.
I feel like he probably didn't, was not happy with it, but out of some respect for our relationship is not saying anything.
John, it was very fair and even-handed the way, even though it was from your perspective, I think it was very fair the way you handled it in the book. I really do.
Well, I think the world of the guy, you know, when he's sober, he's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, it didn't feel like you were going, that guy's bad. Yeah.
No.
He's so talented, too.
He is. He's a remarkable guy and a good, a deeply good guy. But he's decided that that's not the way he wants his life right now. And, you know, I can't stop him.
Well, let me bring up one more thing for the book before we have to run out of time here with John Cryer. Again, the book is called So That Happened, and it's excellent. And that is, when Charlie Sheen started going crazy and did that first interview with Alex Jones where he came up with his 9/11 conspiracies, John heard about that driving to work, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, it's
in
true.
The book, he refers to us as the two morning DJs on K-Rock. Now, John, what if I killed you to remember our goddamn names after all these years?
I feel like you did the right thing.
What if I killed you to give the drummer sub? Come on, John.
More importantly, I did that during the showbiz meeting.
Yeah,
that's
even true.
That
wasn't even us. It was Ralph.
Oh, my gosh.
Get the hell out of here.
This is why I'm going to do a revision for the paperback.
Finally.
You listened to that, and what were you thinking? You were just thinking, holy crap, world is coming apart.
Because up to that moment, I had seen no sign that he just seemed like he had met this lovely lady, Brooke Mueller. Mm-hmm. Things were looking great for them. It seemed like the show was doing great guns, and seemed like everything was going marvelously for young Charlie Sheen. And then you guys got to bring me the news that he was a 9/11 truther, which was fascinating. So we had a wonderful argument in the makeup room that day.
Yeah, that was a fun conversation at work.
Yes,
that's for sure.
Big
All right. Last question, John, for reals now. Will you go back to television? Do you want to do another series? What do you want to do next?
Eventually. I'm just going to take some time for a while. I want to give America a chance to miss me.
Delightful.
But my wife has pointed out that will be difficult because they're rerunning the show all over
really?
The place.
Yeah, miss
but you know, but I don't have to do anything, so I'm just going to wait for something fun and great.
Congratulations
good
on the book,
you.
Man. It's really, really good. You did a great job with it.
Did you read the audio version of the book as well?
I did read the audio version of the book, and
that's
it's awesome.
That's what I'm going to get, because I like to hear people in their own voice when they do these autobiographies, and I think that would be very entertaining for a man of your acting ability to bring your own story to life.
Thank you. I read it totally flat the whole way.
No. You're like, this writer
sucks. I swear.
I can only do so much.
You should have had Charlie Sheen read it, but that would have been entertaining.
Thanks, John. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, guys.
You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. Me? I'm your buddy Ralph Garman. Left behind to keep you company while Kevin and Bean lounge on a beach somewhere. Well, that's probably what Kevin's doing. Bean is probably in a graveyard somewhere, just pressing his face against the cool stone of some dead man's marker and then passing out. But I'm here giving you the showbiz news with the showbiz beat. I gave you a story yesterday about Rick Ross being arrested by U.S. Marshals outside his home in Atlanta, Georgia. Now we have a few more details. He has been charged with kidnapping, aggravated assault, and aggravated battery charges, along with his bodyguard, who was also arrested for the same charges. Now we know that the incident is regard to a June 7th call at the Ross house, where the groundskeeper, a man named Jonathan Zamudio, was reportedly pistol-whipped with a 9mm Glock hitting him in the head and body, and then he was questioned at gunpoint by Rick Ross and the bodyguard, allegedly.
That's alleged.
I said it. The groundskeeper reportedly suffered two chipped teeth, a neck injury, multiple scratches and contusions, has lost the use of his jaw, hasn't been able to chew food since the incident, and that's why marshals picked up Rick Ross yesterday at his home. So no word on what the argument was about. As I mentioned, he is the groundskeeper who lives at the house there of Rick Ross. Must really not like the way he cut the grass. That's what I'm assuming. This is an odd story because I understand Warner Brothers' position, but maybe we're taking being PC too far. As you know, right now, the big controversy about the Confederate flag, the flag that was flown by the South during the Civil War, how it is seen by many, and understandably so, as a symbol of racism, of bigotry, of support for causes that were central to the Civil War, that were historically anti-black. Most recently, of course, this comes from the fact that that a horrible shooting happened in the black church in Charleston, South Carolina, which flies this flag over their state capitol. So there's a lot of controversy about this flag, whether it has any place in American culture anymore or not. I can understand a lot of that, but I didn't expect this byproduct. Apparently, Warner Brothers is now letting people know that it will no longer sell products featuring the General Lee. The General Lee, the Dodge Charger driven by the Duke boys, Bo and Luke, on the show Dukes of Hazzard, had a Confederate flag painted on its roof. So in an attempt to be sympathetic and show support for those who are offended by the Confederate flag and what it once stood for, they are pulling all their merchandise that features the General Lee, which I guess I get, because if the Confederate flag represents what it does, you can't pick and choose, I guess. If you're going to eliminate its presence in the culture, then you have to. But it seems like those Duke boys, they weren't racist, were they? Was Daisy racist? Was Uncle Jesse racist? Not if you ask John Schneider. He, of course, was Luke Duke, I want to say. And he said it's right there in the theme song. Those Duke boys were never mean and no harm. So come on. Let people have their General Lee. I don't know. I know I won't miss this the horn anymore. That's for sure. Do without that forever. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chef Anthony Bourdain is 59 years old today. Singer George Michael is 52. Ricky Gervais, very funny and talented man, is 54. Angela Kinsey, you remember her from The Office, she's 44. Linda Cardellini's 40 years old today. And her co-star from Freaks and Geeks, Busy Phillips, the lovely and talented, also from Cougar Town, of course, she's 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about a little Bean's Death Corner, shall we?
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
That is certainly one of our peppier theme songs, considering the topic at hand, isn't it? It's not that I love death, Allie. It's just that if you're... I'm actually terrified of death. I'm actually one of those guys who wants to live to be 100, and I'm terribly afraid that I'm going to die young. It's just that if you do die, do it in a funny way. That's all I'm asking.
In big fashion.
In big fashion. Have a story that your friends and family will laugh about when they tell it years from now.
Agreed.
That's all I'm asking when you die.
I hear you.
You tell me if these qualify this week on an all-new Bean's Death Corner. Here's a 35-year-old Canadian woman. She and two other tourists were out in Mexico whale watching. Now, what's the goal when you're whale watching? You just want to see them from how far away? How close do you want to get to the whales if you're out whale watching?
I would say a good distance so you can get some good pics, but not so close that they flip over a boat?
Well, all the people on board suffered considerable injuries when the whale breached and hit the side of the boat and turned it over.
The woman who died was a 35-year-old Canadian woman who was tossed into the water. A crew member and a passenger lifted her back onto the vessel, and Mexican Navy personnel moved the woman to shore. She was taken to a clinic where she died during treatment. So she's out whale watching. She's out in their territory trying to get close enough so that she can see them, and one of them comes up out of the water and knocks her off the boat and kills her. That is not the kind of whale washing that you are hoping for, right?
But a great story.
But a great story, yeah. Exactly. It seems a little early in the campaign season for this kind of story, but we go to Livonia, Michigan for this one. A defense lawyer says that an argument about presidential politics led to a fight in which his client is accused of beating her 66-year-old friend to death with a slow cooker. Now, what's unusual about this story for me is that it's a woman, an old woman, 50-something-year-old woman, killing a 60-something-year-old woman. A, you don't see that very often.
No.
And B, beating her to death with a slow cooker.
What's a slow cooker? Like a pot?
I think it's like a crock pot. Yeah. Yeah. Police officer Michael Llewellyn said he found the woman sobbing near her mortally injured friend, saying that she was sorry she did it. The women were arguing over presidential politics and whatever the controversy is between Democrats and Republicans. However, the defense lawyer would not say which woman took which side. So we're going to have to decide whether a Republican or a Democrat is more likely to beat her friend to death over disagreeing Jeez. With her. Here's maybe the saddest engagement story I've seen in a long time. In Ibiza, a holiday maker died in Ibiza after falling over a cliff as she was celebrating a marriage proposal from her boyfriend. Uh-huh. They're standing at the edge of a cliff, which was a beautiful spot that he had picked out to ask her to marry her, to marry him, rather. They're from Bulgaria. They're there on vacation. The spot is famed for its beautiful sunset views. She is Dmitria Dimitrova, 29 years old. She falls off the cliff after he asks for her hand in marriage because she's so excited she jumps up and down 65 feet to the ground.
Oh.
She was alive but unconscious when paramedics arrived, but died at the scene minutes later. It was a freak accident. So she was engaged for seconds, really,
yeah,
right?
A few seconds at least.
Wow.
She knows a joy I never will.
Who's in better shape, her or you? At least she's dead, but at least she had someone love her, Allie.
I'd say she wins at this point.
I don't know what's going on in Napa, California, but there has been a string of very bizarre deaths over there over the past week or so. There was a murder-suicide there last Monday. There was a 66-year-old man, a 55-year-old woman who were found dead in an apartment, and nobody knows how they died or who killed them. That was the next day. And then 2 days ago, police found a body during a welfare check. The man's brother-in-law called the police and said, "I haven't heard or seen from my brother-in-law since the end of February. Would you please go by and check on him?" They went by his apartment, and he was found, and I want to bring this up so if you can help me figure out what happened here. He was found kneeling inside the horizontal freezer in his apartment. The door to his house was not locked. There was no signs of forced entry or struggle. Now, could you commit suicide that way? Could you kneel down and get inside a freezer and close the door? Is that what happened here?
Could you suffocate in there?
That's what I'm wondering. Is in a freezer, I guess if you closed it and you had the willpower to not flip the lid at some point, I guess at some point would you run out of oxygen or no? Do they have some way that oxygen goes into a freezer? Because are those airtight?
I would think they would be. Otherwise, it would leak. So, was it hypothermia?
Yeah, what could have happened to this dude?
Huh.
And what a bizarre way to commit suicide.
Yeah, there's got to be a better way.
Something going on here. And last Wednesday, finally on this edition of Bean's Death Corner, maybe you guys heard about this story. In Los Angeles, California man who authorities believe had been drinking in a tree outside his home was fatally impaled when he accidentally fell from the tree's branches and landed on a spiked fence. This happened in the East Hollywood neighborhood of Los Angeles last Wednesday morning. It appears that the individual may have been drinking on top of a tree when he accidentally fell and impaled himself. It's being investigated as an accidental death. There were about a dozen beer cans found at the scene. I think there was a party earlier in the house that evening. There's no immediate word on how long the body had been on the fence when it was discovered, but he was impaled through his face and his neck.
Oh,
a police officer, Sergeant Melvin Gamble, told the LA Times, "Over the years, you see stuff like this. You still don't get used to it." Allie, this may surprise you, but we did a phone topic once on the Kevin and Bean Show where we took nothing but calls from listeners who had been impaled.
What?
And there were a ton of them. P- people who had skewers that had gone through them, people like this guy who had fallen on a fence, people who had fallen on all sorts of stuff. Apparently it does happen, but rarely does it happen like this where you're drinking in a tree and fall out. So I think that's a pretty good batch. That is this week's Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
What time is Alexandra Daddario being on the show?
Later.
When is she?
Later.
Why aren't we talking to her?
Just saying. It's going to be rough.
North Adams, Massachusetts. Allie, that's your neck of the woods. Where is that? Is that near Boston?
No.
Okay. Where?
I mean, she doesn't know.
No, I have no idea. Where.
It's in northwestern Massachusetts. They were in the news a few days ago. The police department there posted on their Facebook that a man was arrested who was chasing a bear through the woods. The man was carrying a hatchet. He was going after a bear.
And he may have had a drink or two.
He may have been inebriated, yes. We certainly don't need anyone going all Davy Crockett chasing it through the woods drunk with a dull hatchet, the police said. It's just a bad idea. It's not going to end well. So I think what we're hearing from the Popo here is that bear plus man equals bear.
Right.
I think that's the takeaway here.
But the guy had a hatchet.
A dull hatchet.
It was dull. They did point that out. Like a sharp one would make it so much better.
Right.
And by the way, who wants more details? I want more details. Why was he chasing this bear? Was he fighting back because a bear came out of the woods and started to come toward him? Was he trying to protect himself? Or did he go out into the woods looking to hunt bears? I don't know. The police say it's just a bad idea. It's not going to end well. It will, however, certainly end you up in jail, which it did. I've been in the police department for 33 years, and I've never seen anything like this before. Who do we have on the phone? Dave was going to line somebody up.
We have the dude.
Oh, we have
the Hatchet Man?
Danny Mulligan, Hatchet Man. Danny, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show.
It's a good series.
How are you?
How you doing?
We're good.
Well, we're fine. What can you tell us about this night in North Adams?
I don't like bears.
Right. But
okay,
why?
Okay, see ya.
But how did you find yourself next to a bear? Where did you go out looking for them?
How did the bear find himself next to me?
Okay, that's our question. Did the bear, like, come toward you, like you were fighting back, you were trying to save yourself? That's what
I was having a few beers with some friends.
Uh-huh.
And out of nowhere, this bear shows up.
Okay.
Uninvited, mind you.
Uh-huh.
And I took it the wrong way.
So you were personally offended that he was getting into your personal...
He had no goddamn business being there with us.
All right.
Okay. So I said, get away, bear.
Okay.
And he's like, bleh. I'm like, I'll show you, bear. So I pick up my trusty dull hatchet...
You have a trusty dull hatchet.
That's right. I always keep it by for emergencies.
Okay.
And then I go say to the bear, I say, now who's the bear? Bear?
Right. Still the bear.
Wasn't it still the bear, though?
You're missing the point of the story.
Okay, sorry.
And so the bear's staring at me, and I go, okay, it's on then, you and me.
Okay. All right, so you're throwing down now. It's man versus beast.
Right. So I pick up my trusty dull hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing, he turns tail and he starts to run. I said, you're not getting away from me that easily.
Okay, that's the point in the story where you do something different from what most of us would do, which is, hey, danger averted, bear's back in the woods, I can go back to my beer and watching the Red Sox.
That's the difference between you and me, between a man and a boy.
Okay, all right.
And I don't take no guff from nobody, no bear.
Okay, but you know he wasn't personally trying to insult you. He's just an animal who is probably...
You weren't there. Right. You don't know.
But that's... A bear doesn't
I'm
have anything...
I'm telling you, the attitude from this bear was unbelievable.
I'm sure he's just looking for food.
He's giving me the stink eye. Looking at me like I'm a salmon. F you, bear.
All right, so you chase him into the woods with your trusty dull hatchet. What happens next, Denny?
Next thing I know... The local police authorities are saying to me, hey, you can't do that. I'm like, hey, I'm defending my beers. This is America. And so, man, I'm arrested because of the bear?
Right.
Well, you're goddamn Obama.
What are you talking about?
Right? Who's with me?
That's a good point.
What did the president have to do with any of this?
I don't know, but you look a little deep. You'll find it. you're a journalist.
Not really. No. So, did you... Oh, hey.
Wow.
Danny, what's happening?
Bear, what did I tell you already?
Oh, it's back.
Oh, my God. What do I got? Something around me.
Oh, no.
Is that a cheese?
Danny,
come here, bear.
Danny,
come
I don't like the
bear.
Sound of this.
Uh-huh.
Is
now
that your
what?
Trusty right. dull chainsaw?
That's my trusty dull chainsaw I keep by just in case. Because you never know when a bear will show up.
Why is everything that you have dull?
Boone was a bear.
Okay.
Just a big bear. But I was bigger and he ran like a coward up a tree.
Uh-oh.
I don't bring all your friends. I don't care.
Oh, man. Oh,
Wow. Denny, get out of there.
That's a drill.
What was that?
That was a drill I had.
A dull drill?
A dull bit drill. The trusty dull bit drill I keep around in case of bears.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to fence with the bears.
You have a dull sword?
That's a dull FBA I had. Just in case the bear comes with a sword, then we're going to duel.
Okay, there's a possibility of that. Sure.
Hey, bear. What? You don't take go away for a lesson. What?
Okay.
Oh, man. That's my trusty ray gun.
You have a ray gun?
I do. I have a laser ray gun from space.
Is the laser dull?
It's a dull laser.
You carry a lot of stuff around, Denny.
Hey, bear. Now I'm going to give you this.
Oh.
That was my dull butthole.
Hey, we last talked to these boys at night number one of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas a couple of months ago, and they're back. Ladies and gentlemen, walk the mother effing moon.
Hello.
Hey,
here
on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up, guys?
So hot right
guys,
now.
Guys, welcome back. Good to see
you. Thank you. Good to see you guys.
Do you even remember playing Acoustic Christmas, or are you in the mode of you've done 5,000 shows since then, and it's just a blur?
Oh my goodness! It was a blur. It was amazing. I mean, I remember meeting Brandon Boyd in the hallway, and then the rest is black.
And then you just don't. You passed out.
Yeah,
he didn't Bill Cosby you, did he?
Oh my goodness! I hope he did.
Did that go south too quickly?
Wow! You just mean that he's so dreamy that you didn't look at the rest of the world the same after that, right?
Exactly.
Like all you can think about is his piercing eyes.
Yeah, everything else is just a poem.
I understand. Well, Walk the Moon is in town for big doings. They are sold out tonight at the Palladium. They are sold out at the House of Blues in Anaheim tomorrow night. They have the number one rock song in America right now, by the way, with Shut Up and Dance. When did the new album, Talking is Hard, when did that come out? How long has that been out, you guys?
It came out beginning of December.
Oh, okay. So still relatively new. And Kevin, has there ever been an album more appropriately named for you than Talking is Hard?
Yeah, I should make that my autobiography.
What's that? I know some people are loath to describe titles and how they come up with it, but that's such a fascinating one. Why is Talking Hard, guys?
Talking is Hard is kind of a mantra for us for, everybody is forced to use these imperfect mouths, brains all day long, and talking is hard, and so it's about getting over it and communicating better, being better, expressing what you feel, not being afraid.
I don't understand anything you're saying right now. I wish I did.
Do you guys use music to communicate something that you're trying to get out to people, or do you just look for words that sound pretty together?
Absolutely. We've had such an amazing experience with the audience the last 4 or 5 years, and we really wanted to empower people with this record. We really wanted to make people feel powerful to be themselves, stand up for what they think is right.
Do you guys start with lyrics, something you like? Do you start with hook, just playing music?
It's really different every time.
Every song is different?
Yeah. A lot of times it'll be a jam in rehearsal, and I'll take it home and write a bunch of lyrics and come back and we'll have a song. Or other times Eli comes in with a crazy loop on his computer and we all go nuts on that. Or, it's really quite different every time.
Have you had something that you love but you just can't get it finished? Like,
Absolutely.
This is awesome.
Sure.
We need to do something with this, but we can't figure out what to do with it.
Sure. That's about 40 songs that didn't make the record.
Yeah.
This is the band that Walk the Moon in studio. They're going to be performing live for us here in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm so fascinated with the process of songwriting. I think that's one of the reasons, like, I love the show Nashville, for instance, is because a guy or two guys or a guy and a girl walk into a room and they come out 6 hours later and they've created something that may last forever. I'm so fascinated with that process. None of your songs will last forever, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is,
hey, Dick.
It's funny.
The inspiration is so fascinating to me, and you've got a great story about Shut Up and Dance, which I know you're going to be performing here, about how somebody kind of helped you with that. Is that right, Nicholas? Mm-hmm.
Helped me as in real life, inspired it?
Yeah, in real life, the girl who said to you, shut up and dance. I just think that's such an awesome, like, lightning strikes moment.
Yeah, she was wearing a backless dress and some beat-up sneaks, and I was being a butt. She got me out of my butthead and onto the dance floor.
She literally said to you, shut up and dance, and why did that connect with you so much, you think?
I don't know. I mean, we were out here in L.A. just trying to write songs, just trying to write as much as we possibly could. And so my brain was already you know, my head was already in that space, like just trying to sponge up inspiration wherever I went. And it was kind of a moment to get out of the studio and just like, oh, I'm just going to let loose. And that ended up being the very thing that put me back in the studio.
When you're trying to finish songs or look for inspirations or hooks, are you just like every song you hear, you know, you think of those lyrics, and every commercial you watch on TV, you go, oh, Nationwide is on your site. Can I use that? I mean, are you just like scrambling, looking for things that you can turn into music?
You know, the most inspiring thing I found is just really amazing, like really great music. There's so much stuff that's just kind of fluff and noise, and whether it's a commercial or a song you don't like on the radio, but when something is really quality and really comes from the heart, that's when I'm just like, oh, I need to go right now, you know?
Does that happen a lot?
Or
do you're able to put yourself in the position where I need to write stuff in the next so often?
I mean, it's not as easy as just flipping a switch, but we've definitely learned to work when we have the time, because we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Because we're often just out on the road.
Yeah. Your live shows were legendary. You know, even before we met you guys, we had heard how great you guys were on the road. Are you? Is
Can
it
we
still,
quote you on that?
Sure. Is it still like super fun? And do you still feel so much like it's 50% audience and 50% Walk the Moon?
Yeah. I mean, we really feel like the live show is the heart of what we do in Walk the Moon. So it's really important to us to kind of preserve this thing that we've built, both together, the four of us, and with, you know, audiences all across the world.
The world!
Really? Yeah. Whoa. You know, and so everything we do, kind of from the songwriting to the production to how we're going to arrange the songs to play them live, it's all thinking about the interaction with the audience and the live performance.
Yeah. How are you feeling, you know, looking at the sold-out Palladium tonight, sold-out House of Blues Anaheim tomorrow, how are you feeling about moving to bigger venues? Is that something that scares you, or you look forward to?
Man, it's awesome,
because you've got to do it. Yeah. At this point, there's no question. You're selling out everywhere. You got
to
start.
We refuse to play anywhere bigger than 200 people.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, we were just in the UK playing in arenas, opening for You Me at Six and All Time Low, who are really big over there. And I think, having played a few of those arena shows now, it's about making the biggest show feel just the same as the intimate show. You know, it's about,
that's super difficult. A lot of bands have trouble with that.
Yeah. You gotta bring it to that dude in the back with his arms crossed. You know, got to bring it hard into his
maybe not into his face.
Maybe. It's about music. It's not about penises.
Yeah. Really got to be careful if you have your arms crossed.
Yeah. And on that note,
you got to get a big load of Walk the Moon.
The Talking Is Hard tour is ongoing. Congratulations. If somebody listening was lucky enough to get tickets to these sold-out shows, I hope you guys will be coming back. And we're going to walk you down to the Red Bull Sound Space, and you're going to be doing a couple of numbers live for us this morning. Is that possible?
Yes.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much for coming in, you guys. Congratulations on the number one record, too. Walk the Moon, you guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for your support. Thank you so much.
It's always so much fun on the Kevin and Bean Show when we are visited by big-time rock and roll stars. Walk the Moon is here. Talking Is Hard is the tour. It's sold out at the Palladium tonight and the House of Blues in Anaheim tomorrow night. And they are right now in the Red Bull Sound Space with my man Kevin and about 10 other people they're performing for here today?
Maybe 6.
It's like, yeah, 7, 8, 9.
7. Yeah. Probably pretty small for you guys, but all right.
We had to put a barricade in to keep you away from
it. Yes, exactly, because I'm dangerous. Live music, Walk the Moon. What are you going to do?
We're going to play a song called Anna Sun.
Familiar with it?
Question
yes.
mark?
Screen falling off the door, hanging off the hinges. My feet are still sore, my back's on the fringes. We tore up the walls, we slept on couches. We lifted this house, we lifted this house. Firecrackers in the east, my car parks out. Your hands on my cheeks, your shoulder in my mouth. I was up against the wall on the west mezzanine. We rattle this town, we rattle this scene. Oh, oh, and our sun. Do you know this house is falling apart? Can I say this house is falling apart?
We got no money, but we got a heart. We're gonna rattle this ghost.
still sore. My back's on the fringes. We were up against the wall on the west mezzanine. We rattle this town. We rattle this scene. Oh.
Good was that?
That was the best drumming on a pizza box I think I've ever seen.
Wow, thanks.
What the hell is with the pizza box? Ask Sean what he's doing there.
You're actually drumming on a pizza box.
I'm just hungry, that's all.
Could you literally just grab anything and drum on it?
I mean, I try.
He certainly does all day long on the bus every moment.
Yeah, drummers are annoying when they're not playing in on stage. That's for sure. We know that about drummers.
I thought everybody liked what I was doing.
Well, that
he's
sounded
not annoying.
Cool.
He's just creative.
That sounded awesome, you guys. That's the band Walk the Moon performing for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We got time for another one in the Red Bull Sound Space. How about America's number one rock song? Could we hear some of that, guys?
Hell yeah! Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up. Dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. We were victims of the night. The chemical, physical, kryptonite. Helped us to the face and the fading light. Oh, we were bound to get together. She took my arm. I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she said, oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. Oh, that lips just
wearing some beat-up sneaks. My discotheque, Juliet, teenage dream. I felt it in my chest as she looked at me. I knew we were bound to be together, bound to be together. She took my arm, I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she said, oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. Oh, come on, girl.
There you guys. I'm the only one applauding, but seriously, that was awesome.
These six people in the Red Bull Sound Space are also applauding.
Enjoyed the hell out of that. Thank you guys. That is the band Walk the Moon. We are always grateful for their time here on the Kevin DeBean Show and on K-Rock in general. Thanks, guys. Have fun while you're in town this week. We'll see you again soon, okay?
Thank you.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's the best of Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean are off on vacation together. Allie McKay also enjoying some time in her beloved state of Maine. And I'm here working showbiz beat for you people to give you the latest and greatest in entertainment news. That's why I'm here. And I'm shocked, I say, by the most recent story I saw this morning.
Yeah!
Holy moly, Shia LaBeouf put his head through a plate glass window. Why? Why would he do that, you ask? Well, first of all, he's a little crazy. We all know that. But also, he was on the set of a movie called American Honey, and he was shooting a scene that required him to put his head through a window. Now, listen, I don't know much about anything. I'm just a poor, humble radio personality / wannabe actor. But I'm pretty sure that there are safety measures put in place that when you put your head through a movie window, it's not actual glass. And it shouldn't open up your head and require 20 stitches and 13 staples in your head and right hand. But apparently that's what Shia LaBeouf had to endure.
But now Kevin wants to see that movie because he went through glass.
That's right. You're supposed to bounce off the glass. If Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 taught us nothing, Shia LaBeouf, it's that you're supposed to bounce off the glass. That's funny. Running through the glass and hurting yourself, that's just not funny. No, but seriously, they use this thing called candy glass or sugar glass in movies, which is, it's made, I believe, from spun sugar, and they put it as a pane of glass in these breakaway windows, and when you go through it, it's dull. It doesn't cut you up. It's supposed to be safe. Somebody effed up. That's what I get the feeling. It's somebody on the set of American Honey no longer is working there since Shia LaBeouf was sent to the emergency room. But by all accounts, he's okay, and he's heading back to work today, and all is well. But Shia, if they were to say to you, just run through a plate glass window, Shia, would you do that?
Do it!
Do it. You would do it. Okay.
Just do it!
He would say, that's what he would say.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Right. Just go through the plate glass window. Just do it. Are you familiar with pratkeeping? The phenomenon of pratkeeping? This is the latest viral trend, which takes a spoof of Chris Pratt taming the raptors in Jurassic World,
that where he's kind of stretched out in that pose. He's got three raptors in front of him. Well, it's become a thing now on Twitter and on Instagram. Hashtag Prattkeeping. Zookeepers from the worldwide have been doing it with a multitude of different animals. And then the Smithsonian now has finally taken it full circle. They've won Prattkeeping, as far as I'm concerned. If you go there to hashtag Prattkeeping on Twitter, you will see someone at the Smithsonian doing it with actual dinosaur skeletons. They win! Those are the realest dinosaurs. Except for the ones in Jurassic World. David Hasselhoff, he decided that he wants to have a baby with his new girlfriend, Haley Roberts. I don't know if that's a great idea. He's 62 years old and has been known to, take a shirt off and eat a burger, if you know what I'm saying. Wink, wink, now and then.
I'm okay. It's not a problem. I'm not drunk.
Give him the breathalyzer!
Right? His girlfriend, Haley Roberts, by the way, not only has the exact same name as one of his 20-something daughters, but is just 8 years older than his daughter. And that's 62, and her biological clock is ticking, and I don't know. The whole thing's distasteful to me. Don't do it, is what I'm saying. I hate to hassle the Hoff, but I say don't do it. And this story with Rick Ross, rapper Rick Ross, is getting more and more disturbing. I mentioned yesterday that a crew from the U.S. Marshal's Office arrested him outside his home in Atlanta. Now we're finding out more details about the circumstances surrounding that arrest. He was charged with kidnapping, aggravated assault, and aggravated battery charges, along with his bodyguard, who was also arrested, for pistol whipping his groundskeeper. A gentleman named Jonathan Zamudio was struck with a 9mm Glock in the head, face, and body, and then questioned at gunpoint by Rick Ross and his bodyguard, allegedly. The groundskeeper reportedly suffered two chipped teeth, a neck injury, multiple scratches and contusions, and has lost the use of his jaw, hasn't been able to chew food since the event. He's a groundskeeper. How mad can you be at him, Rick Ross? Where are my tulips? What are you questioning him about? What kind of mulch he's using? Don't hit people with a gun, I guess, is the moral to my story. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chef Anthony Bourdain. You may know him from the CNN show No Reservations, or a Travel Channel, I think, also. He's been on. One of the judges on Top Chef, 59 years old today. George Michael, formerly of Wham, currently of... He is 52 years old today. Ricky Gervais is 54. Angela Kinsey turns 44. Linda Cardellini, very lovely and talented actress. She is 40 years old. Busy Phillips, her co-star from Freaks and Geeks, is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A couple of weeks ago, maybe beginning of last week, we were talking about Curt Schilling, Hall of Fame pitcher, won World Series, I believe, with the Red Sox, didn't he, Allie, among other teams?
2004, the Bloody Sox.
That's right. He also for the with the Diamondbacks. He pitched in the World Series for the Phillies. Great pitcher. Retired now. Back in the news because he went on a rampage against some internet bullies who had tweeted some awful things about his 17-year-old daughter. And in the course of that story, I found out something that I did not know about the great Curt Schilling, and that's that his middle name is Montague.
Montague.
Now, that was a surprise to me. I've certainly heard that name before, as we all have, who had to read Romeo and Juliet in college. But Montague, as a middle name, I thought, well, that's interesting. And then I started thinking about the people that I know who have had kids and how hard it is to come up with a name that parents agree on. And that a lot of times the name that one of them wants doesn't end up being the kid's name. It ends up being relegated to the middle name. And a lot of times middle names are used to make the grandparents happy because there's a family name that they want somehow included in the kid's name. And therefore, I submit to you that middle names are the dumping grounds of names.
That's very true.
And I thought it might be fun. And just asking around the office here, we found out there's some unusual middle names with our group. But I thought it might be fun to hear from our listeners who have strange, unusual, or terrible middle names. Like, you don't ever even want to tell people what your middle name is. It's that bad. Or there's too much explaining to do if you do. So give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about your middle name. What did we discover here in the office, Kevin?
Well, Beer Mug spoke up immediately, and that's his nickname because he has a tattoo of a beer mug on the top of his foot. Okay? His real name is Jonathan, but he says that his middle name is Lit.
L-I-T-T.
L-I, I believe it's T. Is it two T's?
Two T's.
Okay. I think it is two
Lit.
T's, yes.
Lit is his name.
Family name?
I think it's his mother's maiden.
Yep. That's what it was.
Omar's in here. What's your middle name?
Yeah, mine's all honked up, too. And I'm half Pakistani, and it's Middle Eastern tradition that the firstborn has to carry the father's first name as his middle name. So that's where my middle name is my father's first name.
Okay.
Oh, and it's R-A-Z-A-U-L, and it's pronounced Rasul.
Rasul.
Rasul. That's how it's pronounced, yeah.
Do you think the name Omar has become very popular in America over the past 25 years, but do you think the Rasul is what gets you on all the no-fly lists?
He is on.
Well, it's either that or that Omar Khan is a name of one of the 9/11 people that hijacked one of the planes.
Well, it's one of the terrorists. Yeah. I mean,
it's not ideal.
So it's one
not
of
not
the ideal. Other. Yeah.
So is that difficult for you? Like, do you just try to stay away from having to use your middle name when at all possible?
Yeah, definitely. It's always Omar R. Khan, you know?
We should call you Deja Rasul. I love it.
Well, you're the biggest Middle Eastern guy.
Yeah. I did a little bit of research before we go to your calls again at 1-800-520-1067 about some stars who have some unusual middle names. And this gives you, I think, some great examples of the kind of names we're talking about. Richard Gere, for instance. Dreamy, famous movie star for decades, right? Richard Gere.
Right.
A manly man.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say dreamy.
His middle name is Tiffany.
No.
Tiffany. His middle name is Tiffany.
Is that like parents thought didn't know, so they just named them both? What? That doesn't make sense.
I think I don't have it in front of me, but I think that was a family name. Tiffany was in honor of a grandmother or somebody like that, and they gave him a middle name of Tiffany. Hugh Grant, very popular British actor Hugh Grant, his middle name is Mungo.
M-U-N-G-O.
Yes, Mungo.
Okay.
Quincy Jones, music legend, his middle name is Delight.
Oh, I want that middle name.
That makes so much sense, though, right?
I want Delight. Can I use it, or does he have it trademarked? I don't know.
Courtney Cox, Friends actress, her middle name is Bass. That should have been your middle name, DJ Omar Khan.
Bass.
Rasul. Family name. Uma Thurman. She's a crazy Buddhist family lady. Her middle name is Karuna. Karuna.
But
and one more. You know the pop singer Ciara. Her real last name is Harris, Ciara Harris. Her middle name is Princess.
Okay. Huh. All right.
So you got a little girl, and she's your princess. Mm-hmm. So that's the middle name. So that's a couple of examples of unusual middle names that we're looking for. Let's take a couple before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with David? He's in Ontario. He's on line 5 to get us going.
Hey, David.
What's going on, guys? Yeah. This is Santa Monica.
Oh. Yeah! Oh, I love that guy.
It's impossible for us to summarize why we love him so much. So we're just going to move on.
Let's go to John in Redland.
Just made my whole weekend. Hey, John.
Nope. Christian.
Hold on, Christian. That's the wrong line.
What's happening now?
Come on, Kev Dog.
How dare you? I'm not Kev Dog. Somebody else picked it up. I can't. Muggs is on the other line. On the other line in the other room.
Why don't we just cut our losses, get our ducks in a row, and take your calls when we return. 1-800-520-1067. Crazy, unusual, strange, and awful middle names. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Talking about the dumping ground that is your middle name at 1-800-520-1067. A lot of crazy ones out there, and a lot of people weighing in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and on our Twitter account, @KevinandBean. Rosie writes in, my son's middle name is Memphis. He was named after Nicolas Cage's character in Gone in 60 Seconds. Memphis. Liz writes in, I'm ashamed to tell people my daughter's middle name. My husband got to choose. He named it after his favorite band. Her middle name is Rage.
Yeah!
Sweet.
I kind of like
her
that.
Her middle name is Rage.
Yeah, that puts you on notice.
I have three friends who middle named, if you will, their kids Danger. So Danger is their middle name.
Yeah.
Jeez,
that's a good one.
All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, we tried to get Christian on before. We didn't quite have him, but now he's available on line 7. Let's see what's going on in his family.
Hey, Christian.
Hey there.
Middle name?
Granville.
Granville?
Granville.
It was a great grandfather's name. I guess they used to call him Grant because I guess he didn't like it either.
Good.
I think it's prestigious.
And my brother's middle name is Halgard. I guess it was a misspelling. I guess it was supposed to be Harold, and the hospital misspelled it, and it was never corrected.
Halgard.
H-A-L-G-A-R-D.
Yep.
I love that it's a mistake, and they just went, F it.
Yeah.
Let's keep Halgard.
All right, thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Malone on line five. That's his first name in Venice. Hey, Malone, were you actually named after Carl Malone?
I was actually named after Carl Malone.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How about that?
You like shooting squirrels?
It's amazing. I do.
All right. So you saw what your parents did to you. What did you do to your kid when you got to name?
So, yeah, my mom was obsessed with Carl Malone. Well, I'm obsessed with philosophy, especially medieval philosophy. I named the middle name of my son's name is Tozer.
Did you say Tozer?
Aquinas. His first name is Tozer. We use both names as a dumping ground for our son.
We're going to need a whole nother show for you.
Tozer. Seriously. Aquinas.
Spell that first Tozer name for Aquinas. Me, please, Malone. Spell the first name.
T-O-Z-E-R.
Take me to church, right? Same guy?
No.
That's Tozer. You're nice. Oh. And then you gave him Aquinas as his middle name. So even if he hates his first name, which he clearly does, he can't even sub out and use his middle name.
Yep.
What's wrong with you?
Were you really just mailing it in at that point? It's a mailman, Malone. What?
Yep.
You didn't mean that.
I gave him one out. I gave him one out.
What do you mean you gave him an out?
His initials are T-A-D.
Tad.
So if all else fails, he could go by Tad.
You know what you should just do is give him a decent name in any of the positions.
Look, in Malone's favor, though, he's had to live as a Malone.
Yeah, so who should know better?
Yeah, I guess that's true. He's felt the pain. Thank you for the call, Malone. Appreciate that so much. Wow, we got some good ones here. Let's go to Mark. He's on line one, San Bernardino. Now, Kevin, before we hear from Mark, you're calling BS on him,
I'm
right?
I'm calling BS. There's no way there's just no way. Hey, Mark.
This is not BS. One of my buddies, long time from grade school, he goes by Ray, and I swear if he's listening right now, he's going to kill me later.
Good.
But his father named him after his two favorite football teams in the early 90s. And this is the early 90s. He doesn't even go for these guys anymore.
Okay.
His first and middle name are Raider Ram.
Wow.
Last initial V, the Nueva. Oops, I shouldn't have given his name out.
Yep.
First name Raider, middle name Ram. So how did the family feel when both teams moved away shortly after this kid got the name?
Kicked him out?
Well, I don't know how his family felt. I know he wasn't too fond of it, which is why he's been trying, ever since grade school, tried to force people to go to call him Ray.
Call him Ray, right.
He started actually spelling his name R-A-I. To go by Ray.
Come on. R-A-I. That's nonsense.
I believe Mark, Kevin. How about you now that you've talked to him?
I do too. But it's a terrible job by the parents of names.
That's a tough name.
God's sakes, people.
All right, let's blow through a couple more. Let's go to Megan. You're Belinda, line four, please, talking about crazy middle names on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hi, Megan. Thank you for calling.
Hi, guys. It's Yager.
Yager? Like
Yarmir?
Yeah, hockey? Like the hockey player.
Yes.
Nice.
All right.
No, I don't know about nice.
Oh, wait, it's your middle name?
No, it's my son's.
Oh, what's his first name?
Anthony
Yarmir.
No, Yager.
Yager.
It's Yager. It's actually his last name.
I don't listen, yeah. Megan.
All right. Good work.
I bet there are a lot of kids who are named after sports stars. A lot of them.
I guess, got a favorite team?
Got a favorite star? Why not, right?
All right, let's go to Ozzy in Pico Rivera. Hi, Ozzy.
Hey, what's going on?
Your middle name?
Aristotle.
Ooh, I like that.
Ozzy Aristotle.
So, yeah, I barely even learned how to spell it. I never used it because I never knew how to spell it.
Yeah.
There's our man. There's our man.
Go Raiders, go Rams. Right?
I'm just sitting here trying to remember how long it's been, Kevin, since we started talking to the Paulies. Of course, we lost Gerald a few years ago, but his wife, Linda, is an internationally known psychic who channels spirits and music and voices from the other side, from the afterlife. She's particularly close with John Lennon, but she's heard from lots of famous people and not so famous people throughout the years, and she seems to be in daily contact with the past.
That's true.
And she's got a lot to say about a lot of things these days, our friend Linda Pauly, and I believe we've got her on the phone right now from her home in Ellsworth, Maine. Hi, Linda. How are you, sweetheart?
Hi, pretty good, thank you. Great to talk to you again, and it's nice to meet Allie.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi, pretty good, thanks. Good.
You've been listening. I know you streamed the show there in Maine. Have you been enjoying hearing Allie on the radio, Linda?
Definitely.
Aw, thanks.
Okay. Hey, we got a couple things we wanted to talk to you about, and we always appreciate your time. First of all, I understand that you're super excited about Hillary Clinton running for president.
Definitely not.
Oh, he read that wrong?
Yeah.
What's the problem that the afterlife has with Mrs. Clinton?
Well, she's just bad news all around. That nobody wants her to get in. Very bad for the future of the world if she does.
Who have you talked to on the other side that's most outspoken against her?
God, the Father.
God, okay. God.
So God is against, and you said that's because what? She's just too shady in God's opinion?
Right.
Okay, well, that's legitimate. I mean, if you hear that from God, I guess you got to take that seriously. Who else have you been hearing from on the other side lately? Have you heard from John Lennon lately?
Yeah, I hear from him once in a while, especially when I play music. Sometimes him and his band, John Lennon and friends, play along, you know, things like that. Once in a while, they make a few comments on something I'm doing and things like that.
And when you hear from the afterlife, Linda, is it just a thought that just pops in your head, or do you actually hear something in the room as if they were standing next to you?
It's telepathic, just in my head.
Just in your head.
Okay. All right. You had an interesting tweet the other day that we wanted to ask you about. You can follow Linda on Twitter, by the way, at her name, at Linda Pauley, P-O-L-L-E-Y. You had something to say about our recent trip to Las Vegas. What's that all about, Linda?
Right. Well, I was kind of concerned there. I'm glad you guys are all right. It seems like the demons are not too happy with you guys getting in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, and they tried to mess things up there by creating the big dust storm.
You said demons.
Right.
Are upset that happened.
Right.
Okay. Why do they care?
Well, because you're some of God's favorite people. And
thank you.
Helped save the world, you know, so many times years ago. And everybody in the afterlife loves you guys, and they don't like it one bit. So they try to do anything they can to stop you.
Okay, so this is nothing for us to be concerned about. It's good news for us that the demons are against what we're doing.
Yeah, we should like that. That means we're doing the right thing, right?
It's a badge of honor if the demons are against us. By the way, you're so right, Linda, about that dust storm that you referenced. We all saw that as we were taking off. I mean, it was, you couldn't even see the strip from the runway of the airport. There was so much dust and so much wind going on. I was nervous about taking off in that weather. I mean, the demons really stirred it up.
Yeah. I saw that on the news there.
Okay.
Right.
All right, so you were okay with us being in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Congratulations. And I say it's about time.
That's about time is right, because we've saved the world.
That's true. We have saved the world. All right. Well, that's fantastic. Okay, so that's good news that we're upsetting the demons then. And are we still on God's good side? Does he still approve of what we're doing here on K-Rock?
Of course. Everything that you guys do is fantastic.
That's what we say.
That's why we keep calling you, Linda, because we need to hear that every once in a while. All right. Otherwise, you okay, Linda?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good right now.
Do you ever hear from your husband, by the way?
Yeah, I hear him once in a while. Yeah. He's helped me make a few decisions, you know, as time goes on. I'm thinking of, should I do this and that? And I can hear him saying, go for it, or whatever, you know, like that.
Well, it's comforting.
It is comforting. It's great to have that as a resource, to know that your husband is just on the other side in the afterlife, right?
Right.
All right. Well, you don't go joining him anytime soon, Linda, because we need you around, okay?
Thank you. Yeah, I hope to live to be 100 or more.
I hope for that as well.
I do, too. All right. You have yourself a great weekend, Linda. We love you.
You, too. We love you guys, too. Right.
Okay.
Bye.
See you later. What a sweet lady she is.
I want to hug her. I will fly to Maine just to hug her.
Uh-oh. What's going on here?
I'm
going
to nail her.
It is 9:44 here on the world-famous K-Rock, KROQ 106.7. You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. It's me, Ralph Garman, with the Showbiz Beat. And I figured this was going to happen. Now the other shoe has dropped. Univision has ended its partnership with the Miss Universe organization. Now, why, you might ask? Well, the Miss Universe pageant is partly owned by Donald Trump. And Univision, of course, is one of the major providers of entertainment for Latin Americans here in the United States and abroad. You may have missed what Mr. Trump said about South American and Latin Americans and Mexican Americans while he was announcing his candidacy for presidency on June the 16th. Let me remind you, in his speech, he insinuated that Mexicans, as well as South American and other Latin American immigrants, are rapists and are bringing drugs and bringing crime into the United States. He also said he wanted to build a great wall between the U.S. and Mexico and, wait for it, force Mexico to pay for it. So, why is Univision unhappy with Mr. Trump? Well, I think it's pretty evident.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
Yeah. Here's the company statement. At Univision, we see firsthand the work ethic, love for family, strong religious values, and important role Mexican immigrants and Mexican Americans have had and will continue to have in building the future of our country. We will not be airing the Miss USA pageant on July 12th or working on any other projects tied to the Trump Organization. Good for you, Univision. Where to put your money where your mouth is. While we're talking about good for yous, good for you, Port Washington, Wisconsin. Good for you, Ozaukee County Circuit Court. Why am I saying all these weird words, you might be asking? Well, remember Dustin Diamond, Screech? This was the guy who was in that bar on Christmas Day. How sad. Middle of the day on Christmas, and he's in a bar. And then, to make things worse, he's with his fiance, Amanda Schutz, who, as I always like to remind you, is a party clown. When he got into a brawl in the middle of that bar on Christmas with his party clown girlfriend, and that's when he pulled out his tiny little knife and stabbed a dude. Well, he has been convicted of carrying a concealed weapon and disorderly conduct with a concealed weapon for stabbing that guy in that bar brawl last Christmas. And so, the court handed down its sentence today. 120 days in jail for Screech.
USA!
That's right.
USA!
Yeah. Bieber may have escaped the net of justice, Screech, but you will not. 15 months of probation. And he's got to pay, a $500 fine, I think, some restitution to the victim. The party clown, she had to pay $500 too and a fine. She was found guilty of disorderly conduct. Now, here's the thing. He will be doing 120 days in jail. But the court said they may be able to find some leeway to give him time to work furlough him to go do some stand-up comedy. So I'm glad to see that his lucrative stand-up comedy career won't be endangered by this sentencing. Because, you know, you don't want to lose his way to make a living, because that would just turn him to a life of crime. And then you've got Screech holding up banks and Screech stealing from jewelry stores, and then Batman versus Screech. You don't want that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Busy Phillips, the lovely and talented actress. She is 36 years old today. Linda Cardellini, she's 40 years old. Angela Kinsey from The Office, she's 44 years old. Ricky Gervais, speaking of The Office, the man who created it all, very funny guy. David Brent, his character from The British Office, coming back in the sequel. Looking forward to it. 54 years old today. George Michael is 52. I'm Ralph Garman. Before I say goodbye for the day, come on back to the Best of Kevin and Bean tomorrow. Not only will we have some hilarious classic moments from the Kevin and Bean show for you, but as a little extra bonus, my good buddy Seth MacFarlane is going to be dropping by the show. We're going to be talking about his new movie, Ted 2. You're not going to want to miss that. We're going to do that live, as well as all the showbiz news with the Showbiz Beat. Come on back tomorrow, the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock.